participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there, you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Take this square world and blast off the kick drill.
The king of donkey basketball.
Yes.
Let me set this up if I could.
Boy, this is, it's a long time. We've wanted this for a very long time.
For whatever reason, we are infatuated with your grade B Hollywood celebrities.
That's right.
And this guy is king of them. Dick Van Patten. I don't know how long it's been that we've been trying to have him on the show. We've had an ongoing relationship with him.
Yes, we have. We've spoken to him for a number of years.
Through the telephone.
That's right.
You know, we've had good times and bad times with Dick. We've had times when we called him and he was on the tennis court with Doug McClure and he put the late Doug McClure on the telephone with us.
That was a special moment.
Mm-hmm. And then there have been times when we've called and he said, I really don't want your call today.
Uh-huh.
And who could forget that fantastic message?
If you miss Dick or you miss Pat,
leave a message.
That is that.
That is that. Yeah. We want it when our show originally went syndicated 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to our first radio convention to hawk our show.
That's right.
We wanted a big, full-size cardboard cutout of Dick Van Patten.
Yes, we did.
We thought that there would be no better way to advertise the show than with the face of everybody's favorite dad from TV, Dick Van Patten.
Sure. Now we don't have a cardboard cutout. We've got the real article.
Yeah, so let me bring him in without any further ado. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the star of Eight is Enough. Many great Mel Brooks movies. Durashears commercials.
Yes. Those window commercials, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, magic cards.
That's right.
Yeah. Here he is, Dick Van Patten.
Yeah. Hey. Thank you. Finally, at last.
He finally makes it to our studio.
I can't tell you. All over the people. Every time, everywhere I go, people come up and say, you know, Don and Mike are talking about you tonight.
You know, Dick, we have had an ongoing fascination with you.
I know.
For the longest time. You know, we've tried to call you at home, and you were very gracious when we would call you at home, and you would take our telephone calls.
Yeah, but so many times you missed me. I always felt bad. I'd come home, you know, about 6 o'clock, and I'd hear the message that you left. I said, oh, shucks, because I always answer the phone. I love to get phone calls.
Yeah, you were very nice, and we had a chance to meet your wife on the telephone. And as I was just saying, one time you were playing tennis with Doug McClure, and you put Doug McClure on the telephone.
Doug got on the phone, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think over the years, we haven't missed a birthday. We haven't missed one of your birthdays.
December the 9th, you always call me.
We call you every time. We always do that.
This December the 9th, I was in Chicago. That's why you missed. I was doing that show, Showboat, you know?
Oh, and kudos on that.
I was there for 8 months, yeah.
That's right. Wow.
Now, I understand you were also just on Rosie recently.
I was on last week, yeah.
Yeah.
She was very nice. A lot of people watch that show, too.
And you're going to be on, what, Sally Jesse now?
Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday. Could you mention our names?
of course I will. Now, wait, I'm doing it Tuesday, which means that they probably won't show it for about 2 weeks.
I don't care. Any publicity is good publicity, Dick.
We have waited for this moment, Dick. We have waited so long to get you in our studio, and you're finally here. Welcome to the Don and Mike.
Dick Van Patten, everybody.
Well, I'm excited about it, too. You fellas have been very nice to me and my family, and to Eight is Enough, and I appreciate it.
Who is my favorite Van Patten? As I've always said, of your children, Nels would be my favorite of the Van Patten boys.
Well, you know, some of the people out there will remember, I was on a show called I Remember Mama from 1949 to 1958, for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the teenage son called Nels. And he was born while I was doing that show, so I named him Nels.
Oh, really?
Already?
A lucky name for me.
In fact, we would not have known about Dick Van Patten right there. Right.
Tell me about Vince. Tell me about the Vince, the tennis player?
He was a professional tennis player for 10 years. In August, he always always played the big tournament here in Washington, D.C., where he said the humidity killed him, but he loved it. But he was on the tour for 10 years. He was always in the top 40. He was down to number 20 in the world. He beat McEnroe twice. That was the biggest thrill of my life, is when he beat McEnroe. Yeah. And now he wrote a movie that's on HBO right now called The Break. He's starring in it, and he wrote it, and it's on HBO right now as we speak.
See, the Van Pattens are hot. They have something in those genes.
It's a showbiz conglomerate, your family, isn't it?
Yeah,
you'd like them, too.
They're all very nice, down to earth. None of them take themselves too seriously, and we have a lot of fun.
We know since you're here, you don't take yourself too seriously either. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here, you know that.
Have you seen the outfit that we plan on dressing you up in tomorrow?
Yeah, that's okay. I'll do it.
He's the man. Well, you are the king of donkey basketball. You're serving as the king of the entire event, but also as the coach of a very attractive team that we are going to be playing tomorrow.
Yes, they're all women who listen to our show, and they're all going to be wearing bikini tops.
And that's my team.
That is your team.
That means you'll be able to huddle with them, you know, and give them cookies.
Oh, that'd be great. I love that.
We're going to rig it so we win.
I respect pretty women. I don't even care if they're dumb, as long as they're pretty.
Well, then I think you're going to be pretty happy with the group that we have for you. We couldn't be happier that you're here. I understand that you had some problems getting here last night.
Oh.
We were very upset. You know, we saw that there were severe thunderstorms in the area, and we thought, God forbid, something happened to Dick Van Patten, because we thought you were going to call us yesterday. And then we got the word from George, the guy who drove you here.
Yeah, he's very nice.
Yeah, he said, hey, listen, you know, Mr. Van Patten has had to go to Philadelphia.
They
took you up to Philly, huh?
I landed in Philadelphia, and then I was supposed to catch a plane from Philly to National Airport here, and the flight was canceled because they said they had dangerous storms here, dangerous rainstorms.
Right.
So then I said, well, how do I get here? They said, well, don't worry, we'll have a bus for you. So I assumed that'd be fun to ride on a bus, look at the pretty countryside.
You poor guy.
But I had to wait 3.5 hours for this bus. Oh, I had to sit there. It was so boring. I sat in that plane station for 40 hours.
Why did you scream,
hours.
I'm Dick Van Patten?
No, but this is...
I'm Mr. Bradford.
So then I get in the bus, and now it's all dark. I can't even look at the countryside. Because, you know, I love the country around here. It's so pretty, rolling hills and everything. But it was dark. It was 3.5 hours in this bus and traffic and everything. Oh, it was
anybody bother you on the bus, Dick? Nobody bothered you?
Everybody was. A lot of people recognized me, you know, from TV. Because TV is a very powerful thing.
That's why we love you.
And, you know, I gave them autographs and everything. And they were all very nice. We became like a family on that bus. You know?
I was very excited when I came in today, and Rob showed me the headshots that you brought, the publicity photos, because... Are they the same? The one that I saw is the Durashears.
That's a great picture.
He also brought the 8 is enough headshot.
Oh, great.
Yeah. A variety of... And here you go, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Look at this. Some photos of Dick Van Patten.
Gosh,
we've been waiting so long. I don't want to say we stalked you, Dick, but we have you over the years.
Okay, there you go. Slightly younger Dick Van Patten.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
There, okay.
That was the day I got my star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Wow. Yeah.
That was that. But the other one, see that picture there that you have? That's from a series that I did after 8 is enough.
What was that
I did this. It was very, very good. You would have liked it. It was called WIOU. It was only on the air on CBS for 17 shows. It got great reviews.
But
it was all about you fellas, about, you know, it was backstage of a radio station and everything.
What did you play, the general manager?
I was the weatherman.
You were the weatherman.
The weatherman that was going blind.
Where are you in this picture, Dick, chronologically?
That's from 8 is Enough, the day that I got married on 8 is Enough.
Look at that.
That got a tremendous rating.
Well, you remember what happened. They replaced the mom.
She really died.
Yeah, she really passed
Diana
away.
Diana Hyland, after our fourth show, died. And I thought that would be the end of the series. But then they had Betty Buckley come in, and she replaced her. And they had me as a widower for about 6 months. And then I finally married Betty Buckley. And that got a tremendous rating, that show. One of the highest ratings ever.
And here's the Durashears picture, Mike.
Your pal.
Durashears.
Did you know this? When I was doing that commercial, remember I used to cut a penny in half?
Have the tape of that. We have the tape of you. You can cut a penny in half.
Listen, you won't believe this. I'm in Chasen's when I was doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out of Chasen's, and Mike Wallace is sitting with Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan. And this is the truth, I swear. And Nancy Reagan says to Ronald, she says, oh, look, Ronnie, there's the one that you like. And you see, this is true. So he gets up. Ronald Reagan, the president, he gets up. He comes over to me. He says, you little rascal, do you know what you're doing? doing? He says, you're breaking the law. He says, you're cutting pennies in half. He said, that's illegal. And he was nice. He was kidding about it, you know. But, but that's true. I couldn't believe that the president actually watches me doing that. You know?
Sure, mommy. Hey, mommy, there's the man from TV.
But you've done a lot of these. You've done the Doris years. How many of you that you've done? Now, the Windows.
The Windows. I've been doing those for 10 years.
You're still doing the Windows commercials?
Don't forget the magic cards.
Oh, now, see, you've seen that. I have not. You've seen the magic cards.
You named all three. Those are the three commercials. But they've been going on and on for years.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. What about when you were in High Anxiety?
Yeah, that was a good picture.
High Anxiety. You win.
All right. Now, Mel Brooks is a very good friend of ours. We play tennis every Sunday. He says that that's his best picture. He said the public passed over that picture. He said that's the most underrated picture of his.
Yeah.
That's his favorite. He
said that's our favorite, too.
He claims, he had just done Young Frankenstein and The Twelfth Chair and the Blazing Saddles and everything. He was making a big fuss. So he said that the reason that they overlooked it was they were expecting something so great. For that was when Mel Brooks was at the height of
Mel
Brooks.
Sure, that's when he was at his
height. He said that they were expecting so much that no matter what he showed them, they were going to be disappointed because it didn't do that well, High Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And now people realize it is a very funny picture.
You got Cloris Leachman, and long before Madonna had those those traffic cones, Cloris Leachman had that look. You got Harvey Korman in that movie.
We love that. Now remember, Cloris Leachman had a slight mustache.
Yes,
that all happened by accident. I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
We start shooting. The first scene we start shooting is 7 o'clock in the morning, and the very first day of shooting is the scene at the dining room table. You know, we're all sitting around the table.
Yeah.
And just as Mel Brooks said, okay. Action. Cora said, no, hold it. Wait a minute. She said, I think it would be very funny if I have a slight mustache. And Mel Brooks said, what do you mean? She said, it would be very funny just to have a very slight, very subtle. And so he said, you're right. Hold everything. So they went up and they got to make a voice. But I mean, if she hadn't spoken up at that moment, it wouldn't have happened. But
you've been plugged into to Hollywood for years and years and years. And you have a lot. You hang out with a lot of Hollywood people, and who are some of your best friends out there?
Well, I guess Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and Alan Alda, they're over at my house every Sunday.
Hey, you know what,
for
question?
17 years.
You could probably answer. You brought up Carl Reiner, and he was the guy behind Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, that's right.
Let me ask Dick Van Patten. Can we both agree that this man is a great arbiter of talent?
Absolutely. We've had a long-running debate on this show, and go ahead. Ask the you know, I know you're asking because I know you think you're going to come in on the win column, but you never know.
All right.
You never know.
Who's funnier? Dick Van Dyke or Jerry Van Dyke? And you can't cop out and say that they're both uniquely talented.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this.
Yeah.
He's giving this a tremendous amount of thought right now.
If you had to pick one, Dick, who would you pick? Who's
That's
funnier?
That's a very good question. I play a lot of tennis with Jerry Van Dyke.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, who's funnier?
Damn. Personal feelings get into this, Dick.
It's like saying which child do you like the best. They're both very. I can't. I know you want me to.
You
say
must
one of them
pick
is funnier.
One.
I think that Jerry is more of a clown, and I think that Dick Van Dyke is more physical. But they're both so good, you can't separate.
But if you had to pick one, just to say one of these guys is funnier, and then we could let it go and we can move on.
Let me put it to you this way. If you're in a room, all right, say, and I'm sure you've socialized with both these guys.
Oh, very
right?
much. You pick two guys that I'm very close
and
to.
And I'm going to say it this way. You're having a get-together. Who's the funniest guy in the room?
Oh, in a room?
Yeah, in a room.
Oh, Jerry Van Dyke.
Jerry!
Go. In a room, Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah,
Dick Van Dyke is a very private guy. He's not funny on the screen at all.
Of course he's not. He's a very private guy.
But Jerry Van Dyke is a true clown. He'll have you in stitches in the room.
You're losing me.
All right, then you got Jerry Van Dyke is funnier.
Oh, there you go.
Don has fallen. Don has fallen on the floor. This is our long-running debate. Don is an enormous fan of Dick Van Dyke.
I am too.
I love Jerry Van Dyke. I've always loved Jerry Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke, I'm a fan too. His birthday is December the
13th. God. Hey, he knew his birthday. He
December
knew Dick Van Dyke's birthday.
I worked with Dick. I played his boss for 2 years on the Dick Van Dyke show.
Did you hear that? He played his boss for 2 years.
Was there no loyalty there?
No. I think he's wonderful, but just saying in a room, he would be
No. Mike O'Mara said in a room because he had to tilt the question.
Well, then it's tilted.
All right.
But Jerry Van Dyke is funny at a party. Forget I said it.
He's fallen. Don has fallen on the floor
but
again.
All right.
But Jerry Van Dyke can get very cranky, too.
Yes, of course he can. I could imagine. I could only imagine.
Oh, this
is
great.
He's a very good tennis player, Jerry Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
He has a bad leg, and he drags it around and everything, and he plays good tennis.
Who in showbiz does not make your list of people you like? Is there someone in showbiz that you had a feud with?
Oh.
Anybody that rubs you the wrong way?
No, actually, I can't say that. I don't see the humor in Howard Stern. I don't see the humor.
All right. Well, I don't think maybe someone who's not a disc jockey.
But I was on his show and he was very nice to me and everything. But I don't quite get the humor.
Well, you probably should listen to the rest of our show today.
Turn on a beautiful music station when you leave the building. Besides him, someone who maybe is a television actor. You know, who am I thinking of who might have been?
Or, you know, some of the big executives, anybody? Because you seem like such a...
How about Mannix? You ever have any... you ever had anything going with Mannix?
Oh, yeah, he's the nicest guy.
Oh, he's a nice guy?
Nicest guy.
There's only four people in the business that are Armenian.
The late William Conrad. Not William
I
Conrad.
Worked with him a lot.
Cannon?
Cannon.
He was very heavy.
Very heavy.
Very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Very heavy.
Who could I get you to say something bad about? Are you friends? Are you friends with Ed Asner?
No, not
so much.
I can sniff him out. You know
why? I'll tell you why. Okay. I respected him so much. I thought he was so terrific, and he is. He's a wonderful actor. And I did that thing, Network of the Stars, Battle of the Network Stars.
Right.
And he was representing CBS, and I was representing ABC.
That's so funny. You did that show.
And I was the captain, you know, and he was the captain of CBS. And he was a sorehead. I could have shook hands. He was mad.
That's good.
So I finally find some guy. Right?
What about Frank Gorshin? Have you ever had any dealings?
I worked with him. I did a movie with him in Barbados last year.
Did you find him to be testy at all, cranky at all?
No, he was very nice to me. Okay. Very nice.
You know, he's selling Dixie Cups now?
But let me explain. He was the greatest impressionist, and then he sort of went into acting, and he sort of forgot the impressions, and then you don't see or hear him.
No, he doesn't do that anymore.
How many times were you on Johnny?
17 times.
Wow. Hey, 17 on Johnny. Hi-oh! Hey, you know, that show,
we were talking about it one time in the old days of Johnny, when everybody really looked like they had an absolute hoot on that show. I mean, in the early days when you get guys like George Gobel and Bob Hope when he was younger and those, and everybody's out there partying and having a good time. Was it as much fun as it looked in the old days?
Well, he was very
show?
Slick. Carson was very good. He was so professional at it. You know, he just.
I'm a modern day Johnny Carson.
I love Merv Griffin too. I thought Merv was great.
Ooh, Merv. That's our impression of Merv. Ooh, Merv.
So I think the more you get to know me, the more you're going to find that I'm pretty much a mirror image of Johnny. I'm a little fatter than he is, a little balder than he is, but I got a lot of that same good stuff that Johnny had.
Carson, who has the same face as Johnny Carson?
Who's that?
Nobody will know that. But the jockey, Bill Shoemaker, has the same face, the same exact face.
Did you ever tell Johnny that? Did you ever bring that up to Johnny?
He said other people have told him.
Yeah, I did tell
him. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And when you leave us tomorrow after Donkey Basketball, I've been told that you're whisking off to Vegas. You're going to be in the front row for the Tyson
fight?
I'm going
back and forth. I'll be at ringside with Jenny Craig's husband, Sid Craig, at ringside tomorrow at the big fight. And then I have to go Sunday to see Jenny Craig's horse run, a horse called Different at Hollywood Park in the 8th race at Hollywood Park that they think is going to win. So,
do you like horse racing?
I have
Do you know
horses.
Tim Conway? Because he's into that,
Tim
too.
Tim and I at the track together every day. Yeah.
you're plugged into that group. I mean, of people that we all grew up with, the funny group of people. And are most of them the same as what you see on TV,
Tim Conway's a great wit.
He was great on the show. We had a good time with him.
Oh, yeah, we did have him on our show. He was pretty funny.
He was very funny.
He's so cute. He's a cute guy.
When you've got all these things going on, and you fly in to do this, and then you're going off to Vegas to the fight, and then you're going to see this horse race at Hollywood Park, when you're mentioning your itinerary to some of your friends, I'm curious to know... How you did you gloss over this Donkey Basketball thing? Did you say, listen, I got a gig in D.C. and blah blah blah? Or have you actually told people that you're going to be the king of Donkey Basketball?
Nice, I was supposed to leave here Sunday, and then when I told you about the fight, you said, "Well, we'll let you leave right now."
Sure,
ringside for Tyson Holyfield.
That was very nice of you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
But have you
already committed to this? You know,
have you told anybody that you're doing this, or do you just gloss over?
I told everybody. I'm telling you. I told everybody about Don and Mike, and it's for the Children's Hospital.
That's true.
A good
there
deal,
you go.
You know.
That's right. It's all for the Have a Heart campaign at Children's Hospital.
No, you're at the top of the list.
Well, you're the greatest.
I don't believe him for a minute.
Neither do I. Neither do I. Well, listen, Dick, we know that you had a tough time getting here last night, and we want you to be refreshed tomorrow, because tomorrow you are the king of Donkey Basketball.
Oh, there's
your beverage there.
Regular? Is that your regular beverage, regular Coca-Cola? Is that always what you drink?
This is... I've never had a drink in my life. Not because I'm against drinking. I wish I could get drunk. It'd be fun. But I hate the taste of liquor. It's like medicine to me.
Right.
I love Cokes, either Pepsi or Coca-Cola, either one. Yeah. And I drink so many of them, about 15 a day.
Wow, that's how you keep your energy level.
I guess so, maybe. Right.
That's a real mellow drink you should have sometimes. It's something called Sambuca. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah, with the licorice taste.
Yeah.
It smells like licorice, but then...
that'll make you puke. Yeah. Tonight you are going out to eat with Rob Spiewak.
Chinese food. He said, do you like Chinese food? I said, I live for Chinese food.
Rob, what restaurant are you taking him to, Rob?
For some reason, the Chinese food in L.A. is not as good as Washington and New York.
Are you taking him to Peking Gourmet?
Take him to that Japanese place.
Guess what?
That we
Wait
go
a minute.
To.
Guess what? The last time I came here, strangely enough, I was with Doug McClure.
Yeah.
And Maureen Reagan.
The president's daughter.
I said, you're going to Washington? I said, yes. And I said, what's a good Chinese restaurant? And she told me one.
Peking Gourmet.
It was right in town, right in downtown
Mike,
Washington.
That's just a restaurant you
like. Played the National.
It's the best one. It's the
about
best
eight
one.
Blocks from the National Theater.
Oh, okay, that's not it. That's probably Chinatown.
We live in the suburbs, which means
Chinatown.
We never go downtown. You know, we're scared, so we eat out in the suburbs all the time.
Is it a good one, Rob? And now, come on, I know how you choose your restaurants. Most of the time, it's cost effective.
It's a huge portion.
No, take Dick to that. Do you like Japanese? Take him to that Japanese place that my wife and I go, and that Japanese. We go with Buzz. You don't like Japanese?
I do. I love Japanese.
That's great.
But let me tell you something. You know the National Theater, right?
Yes.
Well, now, you know, I was a child actor. I started at 7 years old.
Let me plug your book here, Dick.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on, I have a copy.
I didn't bring this up for you to plug the book.
I know, but I just give it to you here. Launching Your Child in Showbiz, a complete step-by-step guide by Dick Van Patten. And there you got a picture of Opie.
Right.
Look at that. And who's that?
That's Shirley Temple.
Oh, that's Shirley Temple. And who's this? That Punky Brewster?
Exactly.
Right. On the cover of the book.
That's a guide for anybody who wants to get their kids in show business.
Right, because I was a child actor. I started at 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was in New York. And before shows opened, I did 27 plays in a row on Broadway as a kid actor. Mm-hmm. And before we go to New York, you have to try the play out at the National Theater in Washington. So this was like a second home to me. But guess what happened to me once?
What?
You'll be interested
in
this. I'm in a play in 1942 called The Skin of Our Teeth. Uh-huh. It hadn't opened yet. One of the biggest hits ever written by Thornton Wilder. But it hadn't opened yet on Broadway. And we come to Washington, D.C. before we come into Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And I play the telegraph boy. And I'm on the stage with Tallulah Bankhead. I was 14 years old. And she comes in. All of a sudden, these two big fat ladies walk out on the stage and take me by the arm and drag me off the stage. They pulled me off the stage because in Washington then, you had to be 16 to be
child
on the stage.
Child labor law.
Yeah. And they pulled me off the stage and they had to ring down the curtain and start the play again. And
wow.
So they didn't have an understudy for me because he was 14 years old too.
They didn't take anywhere.
So they had to have some man go out and read the script and play like he was a telegraph boy. But I'll never forget the National Theater in Washington, D.C.
So you've got some memories here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, a lot.
And look at some of the pictures he's got in his book. He's got Michael J. Fox. He's got that kid from Home Improvement. And then he's got our friend, Butthead. Oh, that's it. He was on our show a long time ago.
This guy used to be a
Jason
friend
Hervey.
Of ours. Jason Hervey did our show in four hours on our
Butthead
show.
Butthead on the Wonder Years.
That's right.
Well, can I give a telephone number if people want to get this?
Sure, Dick.
If they have a child that wants to be in show business, if you know, not to satisfy their own ambition, but the kid wants to
that's
do
interesting
it.
The way you put that. If they have a child that
wants to
be
do it,
in show business.
There's nothing worse than some aggressive stage mother pushing some kid into it that doesn't want to do it.
Okay.
But if they have a child that wants to do it, they can get this book, Launching Your Child in Show Business, and it's a real guide, and it does help them. It gives all the casting directors and all the agents across the country. Anyway, they could call this number, 888-CALL-GPG.
I am amazed at Nellie Olson. You got a before and after picture. You remember Nellie Olson? Her dad ran the mercantile there in that little town that the Ingalls lived in. See, this is her when she was a little girl when she had those pigtails.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, right.
Look at her now.
Pretty cute, huh? Is she still in show business?
She's still around. Yeah, she still works a lot.
Yeah, pretty hot. Well, that's a great book. And listen, we'll let you go and get to your hotel and rest.
Tomorrow
we will work you like you've never been worked. We're going to work you harder than Mel Brooks.
Okay.
We're going to work you harder than when you worked on Eight Is Enough. And you were the editor of a newspaper in Sacramento on Eight Is Enough,
we never shot a show up in Sacramento.
Well, I only mentioned that because we're on in Sacramento.
Yes, we have a lot of fans of yours and fans of the show at KHTK up in Sacramento, California.
So we just wanted to say it's great to... there's his coronation.
Can you hear that music, Dick? That is your official coronation. Dick Van Patten, the king of donkey basketball.
It's great to have you with us, and we will see see you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Van Patten.
Yeah.
Go get rested up for your dinner with Rob A. You're the man. Take him somewhere nice, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, make sure that's not a cheap place. Is it?
No!
You sure? Bye, Dick. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You pay, Rob. Okay? Get some petty cash.
Oh.
Hey, he was pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. That's fun, boy. This is going to be goofy.
He's pretty laid back.
Yes, he is.
Mr. Dick Van Patten. Mr. Dick Van Patten.
Mr. Plugged in to the Hollywood scene for years and years and years.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, I knew we would have an instant rapport with him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You can tell already. He's going to enjoy that. You know, you knew right away. We had to ask him right away. The uniform. Now, if you're coming out to Donkey Basketball, you're going to witness this. You're going to see this uniform. We have got the King's uniform for him, and you're going to love it.
And you got to see the scepter. The two-headed scepter. It's this big, huge, look like a Mardi Gras stick. And on top of it, a real-sized donkey head.
Wow.
And Dick will be throwing that thing around the Showplace Arena tomorrow morning starting at 11 o'clock.
Oh, it's going to be great. We're glad he's here.
Yeah. Hey, that's nice, huh?
Yeah, that
nice
is guy. Wonderful.
You know, you call a guy for years and years and you harass him on his birthday and it's nice. He finally turns out to be a pretty decent chap.
Mr. Van Patten, I'm Rob Bay. Would you mind picking up the check for dinner?
Don't bet that won't happen. Oh, I seem to be short. I believe that I left my wallet in my other coat.
You're such a big Hollywood star for years and years. I was wondering if perhaps you could pick up the tab.
But you know, Rob A., it'll be a perfect dinner because it'll be all about Dick Van Patten because Rob will be able to talk to them all about that. Remember when he said he was on a TV show like in 1945 or something?
This dinner out for Rob is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to him.
Yeah, it'll just be an evening of Dick Van Patten.
Sure.
Featuring Robert Spiewak. Just don't you tire him out, Rob.
Yeah.
I want Mr. Van Patten in bed by 11 tonight.
Don't exhaust the man.
And I want him up and in his uniform tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Ready to amaze us all as the king of Donkey Basketball. Because he's Dick Van Patten. All right.
All right, boy. I feel like there's everything is off and running now.
Pinocchio, you are a real boy.
This is going to be cool.
Dick Van Patten. Did you check out his threads?
Yeah, he had those slick-looking threads, didn't he?
Very nice. Yep. Dickie Van Patten.
Put together, as they say.
Left some of his promo pictures with us.
Yeah, I've got stack of Durashear's pictures right here.
We will be putting them up on the walls right next to the pictures of Big Red.
They can cut through a penny.
All right.
Ronnie says he wants to meet the. Yeah, don't think that didn't happen. He was sitting there. Reagan sitting there going, tree or mommy, man from TV who cuts penny. All right, the great Dick Van Patten.
Wonderful.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's see. I got a phone call.
No,
I'm not on the phone. I'm right here.
Oh. Going to take a phone call.
Oh, where's the phone? I'm not buying it. I think it's fixed. It's not buying.
Do you get the feeling
that you're gay? Yes!
The Don and Mike Show.
Just remember what your old pal Bozo always says. Just keep laughing.
Possibly crooked. The Don and Mike Show.
I just noticed we also have the phone number of the Snapple Lady.
Ah, the Snapple Lady.
This is not one of our setup wink wink calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've actually tried to get her on the show before. I think around the time she was fired, we may have called and left some fantastic message on her answering machine.
Yes. Oh, many times.
Remember that? We got a lot of complaints about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we called and just played all of our sound. All right, well,
maybe she's there. Hello?
Hi there.
I can't even get a line to call out on. That's how gosh darn hot our show is.
It's a great show, and I want to tell you something. This is the first time I've gotten into you guys. It's a wonderful... Hey, Mike O'Mara.
Right.
You met me up in Folsom. I drove you in a Jeep.
Are you the guy that took Daryl and myself up to...
Yes, I am.
What was the name of that bar we went to?
We went to Sutter Street Saloon, my friend.
You remember how cold it was that night?
It was freezing, my friend.
Yes, my friend.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, listen, I'm down in L.A. now. I'm working at Nickelodeon. And I miss you guys because I can't get you down to L.A.
Well, we had a great time. Daryl and I had a great time that night. Daryl and I We enjoyed some of the Napa Valley's finest wines.
You went to listen to Cajun music and drink a lot of hard alcohol.
Yeah, no, I wasn't drinking hard alcohol. I was drinking beer. I don't drink the hard stuff.
How about that? How about those cigars?
Oh, the cigars. Yes, I had a wonderful... What was your name again?
My name's J.D.
And you were the driver of the Jeep, and it was an open-air Jeep. And what would you say it was like 40 degrees that night?
It had to be 40 degrees, and I don't remember. Was Daryl had his head straight up in the air or was it to the side?
Daryl had a little too much day.
Daryl like Dino in the Flintstones? You know, Dan, when Dino sticks his head out of the top of the car when they had to drive him?
Daryl was sticking his head out of the car, but he wasn't being Dino. I've never seen Dino do that kind of yakking.
That was yakking, baby.
Well, listen, I will put you on hold because I know Mike would like to continue this conversation with you off air during the next week.
Put him on hold.
Yeah.
Well,
there
you go.
You
got
it. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, Daryl had a rough night that night.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, my friend.
All right, calling Wendy now, the Snapple lady.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her congratulations on that great new gig.
Hi.
Bye. Hey, Wendy, listen, we called to say congratulations on getting rehired as the late. I'm getting some feedback here. I'm getting some...
There seems to be some interference on the line.
Interference. All I'm trying to do is say congratulations to Wendy, the Snapple lady. Oh, there it is.
Round of applause.
It's up. Listen, we are so happy. We're on your side, Wendy.
We are.
How long does it take the pig sound effect to recue? Is that on a 40-second cart?
Oh, must be.
Boy, that's a long one.
You've tipped our hand.
There's that pesky interference back again.
You're busted.
Hey, listen, congratulations, Wendy.
Way to go.
What does your brand of Snapple taste like? The one that has your picture on the bottle.
And is it caramel colored? Questions we need answered. Thank you.
Congratulations. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
There we go.
All right. It wasn't as bad as the last time we called.
No, not nearly
and
as bad.
And at least this time it's in better circumstances.
Sure.
Because,
yeah.
The pig got a job.
Oh, God.
You know, nothing wrong with being a pig. I'm a pig myself.
I'm a pig.
But listen, you know, you don't see us going on television.
God, I wish we were on television.
Mm-hmm. But you don't see us going on TV and go, hey, I'm so glad that the Quaker Oats Company finally learned what's up. I'm the reason Snapple was popular with my big Carmen Miranda hat.
You didn't like her, did you?
And these are real pigs. The sound effect?
Yeah. That's one of the oldest sound effects we have.
There's an amusement park out here in D.C. And one of their Gone by the Wayside promotions was that they were going to have a petting zoo.
Yes.
And this was around the time we had a morning zoo.
Right. Yeah.
And we did our show from this amusement park one day, and they very proudly brought out two pigs.
Yeah, named Don and Mike.
Oh. And those pigs lived for a while at that amusement park, didn't they?
Yeah, and they didn't like being handled, and that was the sound that they'd make when they were handled, and it was not pretty to hear, and the pigs were squirming quite a bit. I'm not sure whether they continue to keep them at the exhibit after their appearance on our show.
They were real pigs.
They're ham now.
Okay, let's try the guy with the Packer backer tractor.
$38,000 for this tractor.
There you go. West Bend, Wisconsin. So here's what the ad says. It's in one of these Auto Trader magazines. The original Green Bay Packer backer tractor. It's a lawnmower, for goodness sake.
Yeah, hey there, Packer backer tractor.
Limited edition simplicity. 16 horsepower lawn tractor. 48 autographs, including Brett Favre, Reggie White, Desmond Howard. I can get more. Driven to Lambeau Field. I tell you what, I'll pay you if you get Vince Lombardi to sign it, okay?
There you go. Then that would be a treat. Get that hand to come out of the coffin to sign that.
Driven to Lambeau Field for local radio station's nationally recognized contest. Ah, that's obviously what that lady Sally called about.
Okay, he wants to make a $30,000 profit.
Meticulously cared for. Certificates of authenticity for signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Price? 38. How?
My God. Unbelievable. You know, the greatest thing will be, I sold it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we got to get the number of the guy that bought it.
To congratulate him, too.
$38,000?
Ooh, crazy.
For a lawnmower?
Crazy.
Deranged. Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and we're doing our national radio show right now.
Yeah.
We were calling to inquire as to the availability of the original Green Bay Packer backer tractor.
Yes.
Have you sold it yet?
No, we didn't.
You didn't?
Wow.
I'm a huge Packer fan, and I would be willing to offer $500
$500 for the tractor.
I realize I'm putting you on the spot doing a live radio show and everything, but I'm a real big Packer fan. You know, my family was from that area.
Is this a joke?
No, not a joke. I see it here, a riding lawnmower with a big G on the side of it.
Correct.
And a face mask on the front of it.
Yes.
And I was told it was for sale, and I would be willing to... I realize it's a lot of money, but I'm hoping that I could get ahead of anyone else in the bidding.
Well, that you would have to discuss with my husband.
You think he'd be willing to part with it for $500?
No.
Well, what's he... What, do you have any idea of the ballpark, what he wants for it?
He couldn't be asking any more than that. I might go, listen, $600.
Well, sir, there is like over... I would say close to 50 autographs on it.
All right, maybe $750.
Oh, come on. What are you, out of your mind?
Well, listen, I know that it's a lot of money, Mike, but I'm a huge Packers fan.
$750 for a tractor?
That's how much I love the team.
All right. Yeah, what does he want for it? Hello?
Yes. I think he's asking
$3,800? $3,800.
Listen, that's a lot of money. I don't know if I could go $3,800. Wow, for a lawnmower?
He wants $3,800 for it?
Well, why don't you call back and you can deal with him?
Is that what he wants for it? $3,800?
It's in the magazine.
I don't have a magazine in front of me, ma'am.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Yes. I think it's right around that.
$3,800.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. With all the autographs on it.
With the autographs. Oh, now you know what? Someone has just brought me a copy of the ad right here.
Yeah, the autographs are all on it.
What does the ad say, Don?
Let me see. The original Green Bay Packer backer tractor.
Is that the ad, ma'am?
Limited edition, 16 horsepower lawn tractor.
Correct.
48 autographs. I can get more driven to Lambeau Field for local radio stations' nationally recognized contest. Meticulously cared for it. Certificates of authenticity. $38,000?
Is that what he wants for it?
If that's what it says.
All right, that's not funny. Are you still there?
I am.
I apologize. Yeah. Somebody on the show thought that was kind of funny. $38,000.
Are you still there, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we were just going over the ad.
To deal with my husband. With
right.
Him.
That wouldn't be a typo, would it?
It's $38,000. Listen, that's not funny.
Hey, cut it out.
Stop that right now.
$38,000.
All right, so if that is the firm price, I will have to get with my wife, because that's a lot of money.
Okay.
You know, we just got a condo down at the beach, and that's roughly what we paid for our condo down at the beach.
Yeah, but you're a big fan.
No, I love the Packers.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. $38,000, huh?
So you get together with your wife and see if she'll let you do
yeah.
it. Is
yeah.
she gone?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, dear. I think the storms have arrived. Yeah. Homer loves a good thunderstorm.
Please hang up and try again.
Yeah, she hung up. $38,000.
But at least she knows the product and knows the asking price.
Yeah, you know, even she was embarrassed by that. That's why she just said 38.
You're going to have to ask my husband.
All right, I'll ask her husband.
He comes home, yay, buyers!
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And if you tell the bartender to go easy on the water, then this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing you. I'm going to keep time. One, two, three, four.
What an
asshole. Baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, no, baby, she smiled.
She was smiling what an asshole.
No, 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 no. She was smiling at how money I was.
The Don and Mike Show.
What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
Be a dear and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the king of all doggy basketball.
I think I have a hernia. Dick Van Patten!
Here he is!
As you can see, these burros are extraordinarily cooperative.
We really did not know what we were getting into when we did this. And hey, could you check it out? Rudy gave us more of these idiotic Rudy hats to wear today.
There you go. Rudy, stand up and take a bow, Rudy. Rudy Marsky from USA Today.
Hey, run me my guy.
Couple smattering of booze there, guys.
The only booze is in your stomach, Rudy.
Man. 12 o'clock somewhere, Don.
There's a time-tested tradition at any of our athletic events. The one, the only, Dennis P. Murphy, accountant, is going to sing the national anthem for us. And to make sure that he does it right, you'll notice up here on the big screens, we will have the words for Dennis.
All right.
Dennis Murphy.
Thank you.
Can you turn Dennis's microphone on? Yeah, everybody please rise for the singing.
Close to stand up, folks.
Of our national anthem.
Ready?
Ready, go.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light what so gladly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming? For stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly gleaming. That our flag was still there. Oh, say the Star-Spangled Banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
I think that's outstanding by Dennis, Larry. I think that...
Very well done. Did not miss a word.
And I think it was a very smart move to put the words up on the board because you remember the recent, a couple of years ago at the Don and Mike Bowl, Dennis forgot the words.
Well, listen, let's turn this over now to Larry and Rudy.
Two fantastic sports play-by-play dudes.
Because we are going to mount our burros.
All right, sell-out crowd here at the Showplace Arena, Rudy, for this exciting talkie basketball game between the busty Bikini Burrow Babes and the Don and Mike Show team. 2:15 minute halves. And what do you think is going to be the key to this game, Rudy?
I think it's just the busty babes mounting their donkeys there. That'll be the highlight of the show after that. Everything goes downhill, I think.
All right, well, are we ready to mount? We need to be ready to mount before we get this game underway. Of course, cheering is encouraged here at the Don and Mike Donkey basketball game. Don Geronimo preparing to mount the donkey. Having a hard time getting set up here.
He's on a chair now. Is that a chair out there that Don's going to use?
It's a chair.
I think it's a chair. Only women use chairs to mount donkeys.
The donkey is not a willing participant, Rudy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think now the manager, the trainer here, mentioned he was giving out specific donkeys to specific people. I think there was a reason why he handed Don that one. Mike's up. Wait, where's Buzz?
Game is ready. Game is underway.
Wait.
Underway. Yes, this donkey basketball game is underway. The ball bouncing towards the Don and Mike goal.
Oh, that's Deborah over there. With
Deborah's
the ball.
Got the basketball.
Which one is the ball?
Deborah's got the basketball. Don still to mount that donkey.
Yeah. Don is.
Deborah has a wide open pass to the hoop, and she passes it off.
Yes.
Now they're going the wrong way with that donkey.
Now, does Don get penalized if he's not up on that donkey in a minute?
Is that Deborah again? Deborah's got the donkey.
Buzz Burbank lost his donkey.
Oh, there you go. Deborah's got the ball. The hoop's this way, Deborah.
Yeah. I think Deborah's got the score.
It's short.
Yeah. I think one of the donkeys bit one of the women, Elizabeth, in the butt there.
Oh, watch out.
Yes.
Bit Elizabeth in the butt?
Yes. Elizabeth is off her donkey now. She's rubbing her behind.
1 minute into this donkey basketball game, we have no score.
And that time,
Geronimo.
Geronimo's down, and he's going to ask for a new donkey. I think that's it. First time out, we're going to have Geronimo with a new donkey. Wait,
Romero with the basketball.
That's the turnaround with the ball.
Romero making a move to the hoop.
Wait,
Romero passes ahead to Geronimo. It's up.
Notice that was not on a donkey, okay? And so he gets the 2 points taken away. In fact, that may even be a foul. It could be a technical on him.
The other way it goes.
Maybe he's getting traded on a donkey. Maybe he gets a better donkey.
Dick Van Patten's busty bikini barrel babes have the basketball.
Don Geronimo just got stepped on by the donkey. But so far, he's
okay. The shot by Elizabeth short.
Oh, that was choice.
Wait.
Geronimo with it again.
Wait. Now he knows he can't do this. He's trembling.
Referee blows the whistle. It's a walk-on, Don.
Because Don has not been able to get up on that donkey yet.
Rudy, I urge you to get your fat ass out of there and try to get on one of these asses. I have the most unruly ass of all of them.
I think so.
Romero.
Boy, Hill, you're
ready. Look at Romero going to the hole.
Ball. He's grabbing him, but O'Meara is
going to get it.
O'Meara, one of the great moves of the day, though, by O'Meara. That was outstanding that he broke through on his donkey.
Buzz Burbank having a hard time with that ass.
Yeah. Here comes Deborah again. Deborah seems to be the leader.
Somebody got the ball. There's two balls on the court.
Yeah.
Shot is off the front rim.
At the front rim by...
Who was that?
It was Elizabeth.
That was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth took that shot. But here...
Here's B. Roy Hill with the basketball, working his way over the midcourt straight.
Charlie B.
Roy Hill to the foul line. The shot by Roy Hill. Yes!
Way to go. The Broy Hill made that one. And the score is now 2-0.
Two buckets to none. I guess that's how we're counting these. By bucket, right?
No, it got to be by four.
So that's two buckets for the Don and Mike team. We'll keep our own score.
Okay. Rita has grabbed the ball.
Rita grabbed the ball.
Donkey.
Charlie Broy Hill back with it. The pass to O'Meara.
O'Meara's going in.
O'Meara.
Going in.
Takes that ass to the hole.
Uh-oh.
The jumper.
Joyce.
Oh,
O'Meara fell. All almost made it, though.
Rito with the basketball. Gets it to Joyce. Joyce working her way over the stripe.
This is not what...
Joyce got that ass on the move, doesn't she?
She's about to be thrown off.
She goes. Geronimo with a long rebound.
She missed the shot. And
gives it off to Broyhill. Broyhill. Over the head. It's up. It is... Good off the iron.
Wow. Almost banked it in off the scoreboard.
Geronimo the foul line jumper. No good again. Man. I think Don's got the hang of it. Just has to hold that barrel. Doesn't need to be on it by rule. Back now to...
Deborah. Deborah's got it. She's going in for a layup. Deborah. Here it is. Deborah.
Off the glass.
Oh, come on.
Good again.
She missed. She
now
missed.
Joyce with the rebound, but she doesn't have her ass with her.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo looking for relief off the bench, and here comes Big Gun Jim. Now let's get a mic for Don.
Wait a second, Big Gun Jim mounted that thing. No, it didn't. It's
no, what's your first
one? I think my donkey's on steroids or something. I want a urine test done on my donkey.
Look at the perspiration rolling off the forehead of Don Geronimo.
I've got a harder workout trying to mount that donkey in the last 5 minutes.
Buzz wants out.
Buzz is giving up too.
Buzz. Stop the dwarf in the game. Buzz, how are you feeling right now?
You know, Larry, I've been accused many times of not being able to get off my ass, but today I couldn't get on it.
Deborah bouncing her way down court. Yeah. Gives it to Rita. Rita's shot, no good. Still scoreless for the Dick Van Patten team. Geronimo passes to Broyhill. Broyhill looking for some place to go with that basketball. His ass is on the move.
That's great.
Broyhill.
He knows
to O'Mara. O'Mara the jumper.
Yeah! O'Mara. Mike O'Mara hits for the Don and Mike team.
4-0. The Don and Mike team on top.
Apparently only count by ones in this basketball game. I don't know how they do that.
Elizabeth to Deborah. Deborah 0 for this basketball game.
Here comes Deborah.
0 for 6 from the field. The shot by Deborah. It's a break. Okay. Here comes Geronimo with the basketball. No. Off to Broyhill. Big Jim with it now.
Big Jim. And O'Meara's going to take a shot. Wait a second. They're running interference here.
Broyhill is throwing from his ass.
Yeah.
Jim and the intern checking in. Off the front rim with the shot by the Dynamite Show.
We get some subs here and get some scoring for the...
Don, this appears to be harder work than we expected.
Yes.
Wait. Whoa!
Oh, she's down!
Broyhill, it's a Big Gun Jim.
Guys, the ass doesn't seem to be taking to me.
Don, I think you need to trade asses in the second half. I think
you need to change asses.
Yeah.
I need a new ass, guys.
Your ass appears to be spastic. Ball in the hands of Rita. She gets thrown from her ass. Passes ahead. Deborah with it. The shot is up. It's good.
Whoa! I think that should be a two-pointer. That should be a two-pointer in a scoreboard. Yes.
4-2 is the score.
Yes.
On the move, Deborah.
That is a troubled ass.
Deborah's bouncing on her donkey.
Deborah bouncing down court. Deborah, the other half is no good.
She's still worth the show, though.
Rudy, the shooting of the Dick Van Patten team leaves a lot to be desired.
Yes, they need a clear breakaway with somebody just under the basket for a quick layup, Larry. Only happened once this game.
Big Gun Jim protecting the ball from Rita.
But I still say that the...
Don Geronimo, hurt foot. Down court, here comes Deborah. The shot is up. Oh, miss ball.
Yeah.
Ball passed again to Big Gun Jim. Yeah. Big Gun Jim has Don Geronimo ahead of the pack.
Don's now pulling
Big
his
Gun Jim looking to pass to Geronimo.
He's pulling his dog.
Big Gun Jim moving his ass. Oh, Big Gun Jim puts it up. This is the easy bucket. Geronimo there puts it up. Back rim no good again. No good by Don.
This crowd will turn on you quickly, won't it? Won't it, Larry?
It will. It's about to turn on us. 40 seconds to go in the first half. Big Gum Jim dominating the action. Puts it up. It's short.
I think Jim's better pass off from now on.
Loose ball. Controlled by the Dick Van Patten team.
Here we go.
Deborah again.
Deborah got a breakaway. 25 seconds left for Deborah.
Clock winding down in the first half. Deborah puts it up.
Deborah.
Too strong. Big Gum Jim, a wild shot for no explainable reason.
Yeah.
It's out.
And so now it looks like the half's going to run out. Well, no, there's 15.9 left, just like the NBA.
It's gut check time for the Dick Van Patten team, Rudy.
Yeah. I think if take it all the way underneath the basket.
Here comes Deborah.
All the way underneath
Here
the basket.
Here comes Deborah. To the hole.
Yeah.
Off the mark.
One more, Deborah.
Clock winding down. Eight seconds. Seven seconds. Six. Rita shoots, no good. Broyhill with the ball. Throws it the length of the court. 1 second. The first half is over. First half of this Donkey basketball game is over with the Don and Mike team leading. You know what they say, you watch the last 2 minutes of the Donkey basketball game, you see the whole game right there.
Yeah, I know it.
Don't you have a little competition?
Oh, yeah, where's Chuck Stossel?
There's Charlie Stossel.
All right, where's the real basketball?
All right, the real basketball. Now, how are we going to do this?
The score is 4-2. Right here.
We're 1 minute time limit.
They're going to give us 1 minute each to make as many shots as we can from behind this line back here.
That's right.
The NBA
right
here. Here is homophobe Charlie Stossel, everybody. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Don. How are you? Gentlemen, here is the regular basketball. You will have 60 seconds to make as many shots to that basket from this line as you can in 60 seconds.
Let me go first. All right.
Ready, go. One.
Na-na-na-na-na.
Oh! All right, clock is counting down. 49 seconds. All right. Oh, another one. Don has one in. 40 seconds. 40 seconds. No, there is none of that allowed, Charles. None of that allowed. Hurry. That's what the scoreboard says. Here we go. We're at the halfway mark. 30 seconds. 30 seconds and counting. And, all right, we're waiting. Make some noise, people. Make some noise. We're at the 20-second mark. There goes another one in. No. We're waiting. We have one basket in.
Yes.
And we have 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At the buzzer.
And
it's in.
At the buzzer. That's a total of 3.
Listen, homophobe, I'm going to be in your face just like you were in mine. Let's go.
All right, now there will be 60 seconds on the clock. And Charlie, homophobe Stossel.
Remember, Charlie, I made 3 baskets, buddy.
He will have 60 seconds on the clock, and we will see what happens. Just remember, this is the man that plays with dolls. We'll see if he can break that reputation today.
What?
I'm sorry, action figures.
He has the Hercules doll down his pants right now.
On your mark. Get set, go.
Nice start, Charlie.
Right, the first one, no good. First one, no
good. Over the line.
No.
Okay.
The baskets to beat are 3.
Take your time, Charlie.
So 3 or 4 did you have?
I meant 3, Mike.
3. 3 baskets. So far, Charles Stossel just watching. Meanwhile, you can't hear it, but out here, the chance of loser from the Hooters girls. All right, we're approaching the halfway mark.
That's his
first basket.
I'll give him the ball back.
Yeah,
that's his first basket. There it goes, and no. At the 26-second mark, he only has one basket. He is in desperate need with 20 seconds to go. Two baskets. Time is running out. He misses that one also. We're approaching the 15-second mark.
Please.
Only one basket for Charles. Oh, there's two. We are approaching 10 seconds. No. 7.
Give another shot.
6.
Give another
5. 4. 3. 2. 1. And no. The battle royale has been won.
I won the game. I won the game.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing a demonstration of how to be a gracious winner. Charles,
you
Stossel.
Suck! I won.
Good man. Let's get the post game interview here. Don.
Yes, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to go to the loser first.
Yeah.
All right.
You gave it your best out there. There's a lot of pressure. I saw a little interference happening out there. Your thoughts on the grudge match?
Let me tell you something, brother. I want you again, brother.
Anytime, Charlie.
You don't like me. You don't like me with my arm around you, do you? Because you're a homophobe.
Love it.
All right. There you go. Oh,
see, he's no homophobe. Oh,
all right. That's enough.
Hey, you Charlie, win, you thank win, you very much. And everybody loves Charlie on our show on Fridays, right?
All right.
Great job.
Charles Stossel. And
please do take my place, though, in the second half, Charlie.
We'll see.
And Don, how does it feel to be finally, after all this, do you feel vindicated? I know it was a long time. Spent a lot of time training for this.
As you know, I've never lost an athletic competition in my life.
I understand this.
Still undefeated.
Back when you were with the Nebraska Cornhuskers all the way till today, it was a fine performance.
And, of course, I had that head injury because I played without a helmet.
And thanks, he is now
Charlie.
Playing with a steel plate in his head.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow, that I tried to get over it, and I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage so I can do X, Y, and Z.
Now operating with a 7-day delay. The Don and Mike Show.
Pat, your team is down by a bucket at halftime. What are you going to tell them now during the intermission?
Well, I've seen many of sporting events, but I must say that this is the most recent.
Now, you see your player there, Deborah, had many opportunities to score, and she has yet to score. Maybe she scored once during this game. She accounts for your only bucket. She's your main offensive weapon, huh?
The reason that she's not scoring is she's throwing the ball too quickly. She should wait till she gets right up to the basket.
Right.
But she's fun. She's wonderful to look at.
And I guess that she's probably scored off the court more often than this.
We're going to find that out.
I must say that these girls have shown us a thing or two.
Yeah, a couple. Now, but I think that's where the coach comes in, Dick. I think I have to let her get all the way under the hoop before she throws the ball.
Definitely must get closer to the hoop.
Yeah. Mike O'Mara, any comments for Dick Van Patten?
It's fine when you're on the other side, isn't it, Rudy?
Yeah, right.
When you're out here, this is where it counts. The gridiron.
Man, he is sweating. This is hard work, isn't it?
Yes, it is hard work.
My goodness.
Don has not been on the...
Don has had a hard time with
Don is having trouble with his ass.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Crown and Scepter. Maybe you would like to try to mount one of these vicious animals that I'm going to have put to sleep after this little game today, okay? I got myself a nice, big donkey sandwich.
Is everybody having a good time so far?
Yes.
This is why we decided to do this.
Listen, I know that we are all just moments away from cardiac arrest. Let's get right to the second half. Can we do that? Do the donkeys need any more rest?
I think after that halftime exhibition, I think that Don ought to be a donkey, a different donkey in the second half, because he showed he could score.
Yes.
He showed he's got some talent.
Indeed he did.
We were beginning to have some doubts.
I think maybe that donkey, that first half donkey, was a setup just to frustrate Don.
Yeah.
I am afraid of those donkeys. That's part of the problem right there.
Well, now wait. Could a donkey? The donkey could tell Don that you might have been.
The donkey could sense my level of fear. Some of the other boys easily slide on the donkey without giving it a second thought, guys.
I think it's a setup, Don. It's a setup.
Yeah. We got our big team meeting.
Let's eavesdrop on the team meeting over here. The Don and Mike team.
Sang?
1, 2, 3, S.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, S.
All right. This is a team that knows they're on the verge of victory.
Well, they've got a big 2-point lead at halftime. Of course, in donkey basketball, that is a large lead.
Now we have, this is the same ass that Don had in the first half.
No. Tammy, this is the ass that has already refused me.
Don, you got to switch that one around. Give Don more of a break in this half now.
Give Don a receptive ass.
Get the next four out there. It's Kate and Mike and Big Gum Jim. And Charlie Stossel. Come on, Chuck, give it a try.
Oh, Big Gum Jim.
You got the bucket, Charlie.
Ass.
Yeah. And good luck, any of them, Charlie.
Wait, not Mike. Mike O'Meara seems to be having trouble mounting his.
Is that your same ass? Yeah. Is that the same ass you had before?
Always stay with a good ass.
Yeah, so I thought.
Okay.
I have a problem with that ass in the second half, though.
Stay with a good number one ass.
So we're about ready for second half action to begin here. 4-2 is the score. 15 minutes to have to go here. The referee is ready. We are ready.
Here we go.
Michael Mara having a hard time on that ass. Second half play is underway. Ball is passed to Kate. Kate lets go of her ass and gives the ball back to the referee. Deborah with it now. Passes in.
But you gotta go. You're going the other
this
way.
This is Joyce. Joyce trying to get her ass in gear.
Here comes Joyce. I think she's gonna have a clear. No, you can't block her.
Charlie Stossel trying to block her physically.
Oh,
there.
Man.
Joyce slams it off the glass. Deborah back with
Charlie,
it.
Charlie, gotta get
on
your
it
ass.
To Rita. Rita doesn't have enough. Actually, she does have enough, but not with the basketball.
Okay, put it up there. Oh, man.
Ball put up by. Who was that?
That was Elizabeth.
That was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Wait a second.
Deborah.
Okay, now here.
Gives it to Rita.
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 Oh.
Comes up
Rita
short
missed.
Again.
Right now, this second half right now is all the Dick Van Patten team, but they just can't get the ball in the hoop. I think that second string that Don Geronimo put in there, I think it's not performing.
Charlie Stossel gives it to Big Gun Jim. Big Gun Jim looking for Mike O'Mara, throws it over his head, ball to the hands of Dick Van Patten.
Now, something happened to Deborah's burl. It won't let her get in.
No, maybe she said something wrong during the first half.
Yeah, I think I forgot about her.
Here is Elizabeth. With a basketball. Set to the foul line.
Elizabeth.
Looking to shoot. She should shoot. She's got the open shot. Put
Elizabeth.
It up.
Elizabeth,
put it up. Behind her head. No, sir. Deborah gives it to Rita. Rita trying to get some motion going there on that ass. Rita's got it moving. Rita's got it moving. The shot by Rita. No good.
Here comes Joyce. Come on, Joyce.
Joyce misses the rim from layup distance. Joyce back with a basketball.
I don't know. Maybe Joyce got some training with the Wizards. You know?
Might have been.
They missed a lot of layups. The Wizards did.
Might have been. Joyce puts it up again. No good. Deborah the rebound. She's a rebounding machine in there. She's like Dennis Rodman, huh, Rudy?
Yeah, but she's doing this illegally because she's not on her burl.
Now, this is the she ties the burl into the bucket, but Joyce cannot get the ass to deliver.
Yeah.
Deborah chases it down again. Gives it back to Joyce.
Joyce
ties the score.
And Joyce scores, and it's a tie game. Should be 4-4 right now. This is going to go down on the wire, Larry.
4-4. 12:40 to go in this ball game. I think the Dick Van Patten team has the momentum right now in this game.
Yes.
Deborah gives it to...
If they score it...
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you got to turn around, Elizabeth.
3-on-none break right
now. Yes, yes.
Now it's a 4-on-none break.
None of the other. Look at that. Toronto was trying a new burl.
Elizabeth can't get her ass in gear again.
Yeah.
Elizabeth now has the ass moving. Elizabeth,
here comes Joyce. Oh, no.
Good.
Now, Joyce, there goes Elizabeth. Misses.
Again, a miss. Deborah with it.
Okay.
Gives it back to Elizabeth. No good again.
I think Elizabeth should not be the shooter.
Okay. We got to get Don on that ass.
Don's trying a new one.
Got to get Don.
He's going to get on a new ass.
Don Geronimo has it. Passes to O'Mara.
O'Mara. Moving in there.
Has his ass in gear. O'Mara puts it up.
Yes! Okay, the Don and Mike team now score. Let's see how many points they give him for that one.
It's 6-4.
6-4.
10 points to go in this game.
Mm-hmm.
O'Mara taking bounds.
What a showboat. What a hot dog that O'Mara.
You got it.
Joyce has it. Misses. Rebound long. Goes to the bouncing Rita. Rita throws inside again to Joyce.
Okay, here comes Joyce. Turn around, Joyce.
Joyce trying to turn her ass around.
Come on, turn this way, girl.
There she goes in for that layup.
Off the glass.
Whoa.
Too strong again.
Yeah.
Loose ball. Joyce once again has the ball.
Come on.
Joyce has it. Looking for a layup on the left side. Puts it off the glass. No good.
Man.
Rita with the rebound. Gives it back to Joyce.
Wait, Joyce's donkey is taking her out to midcourt.
And here comes Scott the Dwarf.
Here they go.
Joyce is being led by Rita to the hole.
Oh, man.
No good. O'Mara goes down.
Oh,
basket by Joyce. This game is tied at 6 with 9:20 to go.
And the crowd senses an upset, seems to be rooting, I can't believe this, against the Don and Mike team.
Oh, Broyhill's got his ass in gear. Look at Broyhill moving.
Don?
Broyhill all the way. Broyhill to the hole. Puts it up. No good.
Don Geronimo limping off the court. And Mike O'Meara, we saw him with a sprained ankle.
Don, how are you physically right now?
I hurt from below the waist, guys. If you're with me on what happened
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Seems to be however, walking was quite gingerly.
Oh, Broyhill hit in the face. Broyhill hit in the face, puts it up underhanded. No good. Preparation H, the official sponsor of the Don and Mike Donkey basketball game.
I've just signed an endorsement contract with them.
That's Elizabeth with the basketball. Bricks it off the glass. Mike O'Meara with the basketball. Passes ahead. Charlie Broyhill has it.
Okay,
Broyhill, look at the score. Puts it up. No good. Gets his own rebound. Broyhill back to O'Meara.
O'Meara.
Overtime.
Oh!
Good.
Over the head. No look. Shot by Mike O'Meara. Just missed by
Ingrid. I want to know how come Rita's not on an ass.
Yeah.
That's
here, Rita.
What I wanna...
Rita, get a fight.
Rita needs to get on an ass right now.
Right.
Rita, find your ass, Rita.
Yeah.
Charlie Broyhill making friends with his ass. You see that?
Yeah, I know. He's petting it.
Broyhill with it, within shooting range.
Pass ahead.
Puts it up. No good. Loose ball in the hands of Jimmy the intern. Gets it to Scott the Dwarf. Shot is short. Would you know it?
Scott the Dwarf, yeah!
Oh, good by Scott the Dwarf.
And it's Scott's off.
Oh, look at Scott the Dwarf. Goes over backwards.
He fell off, but he almost made the winning shot.
Rita the basketball.
Wait, here we go. Here comes Elizabeth. She's got it. She's busting. Wait.
Mike O'Meara.
Hold it. O'Meara, you can't grab her there.
Joyce looking to give the Dick Van Patten team.
Oh, my God.
8-6, Rudy.
Oh, my gosh. The Dick Van Patten big women, babes, they now lead 8-6.
O'Meara looks to tie it.
Oh, O'Meara. Wow. It's just like an NBA game.
Come on, baby.
Mike now with 6 points in this game.
Mike O'Meara is the leading scorer in the game, has tied the game for his team at 8-8.
Joyce back with it, looking to break this tie with 5:40 to go. Joyce puts it up, way too strong. Rita the rebound. Don and Rita.
Yeah.
Fighting it out.
Wait.
Don goes Don. Pulled down by the ass.
And here comes Elizabeth with the ball. She's going to try to break away. Oh!
Broyhill tries to poke.
Oh, you can't do that, Broyhill. You got to be on your. You got to be on your donkey.
No poking the ass, Charlie.
Okay. Yep. Okay. About 2:20 to go.
2:20 to go. The score is
and
still tied.
And the score is tied 8-8. Here's a breakaway now.
Jimmy the intern, the shot.
Jimmy the intern misses it.
Oh, and goes down. O'Meara the ball again. O'Meara
it is. O'Meara.
The tie. No good again. Broyhill gets it again.
Uh-oh.
Gets it to O'Meara. A hook. No good. Broyhill gets
okay.
it.
Okay.
Gives it to Don Geronimo. The jumper by Don.
Yay!
No good. O'Meara again. Dominating the backboards is the Don and Mike team. Broyhill pokes it away from Rita.
Oh.
And the whistle on Broyhill.
Got to go to the girls. Here it is.
Deborah.
Okay, Deborah. A layup, Deborah. A layup.
Deborah, all the way to the hole. No good.
Oh, man. She just said she was ahead of breakaway. The crowd was cheering for the big busted babes.
Looking for some place to go. Don's going to shoot it off. No good again.
Get a little tense now. A minute and a half to go.
O'Meara looking for the basketball. Kicks it off.
Yeah. Okay, Rita's got that
Rita's
ball.
Rita's having a hard time with that top, Rudy.
Yeah, I think that top might come off, Rita.
Don steals it. Don steals it.
Down
the layup. Good!
That's wiped out.
Good.
Has to be wiped out.
It has to be good for Don Geronimo.
The ref wiped it out.
No bucket.
His dime was off his horse.
No bucket.
No bucket. The ref wiped it out.
Will we see all
the
time?
Here comes Jimmy the intern in for the winning shot.
No good. 1 minute to go. And the score is tied.
A minute.
Rita, stolen by Mike O'Meara.
Yep.
Mike O'Meara needs to turn that ass around.
Yeah.
Mike O'Meara. Being accosted by Rita.
Well, you know, I'll tell
O'Meara
you.
Throwing elbows to get Rita's off him, I guess is
you
what
know,
you're saying.
Yes. I think Mike O'Meara likes to be hustled in the middle by these big babes.
34 seconds and counting. Will we see overtime in this donkey basketball game?
Here we go.
Has her ass on the move.
Okay, this could be it.
The crowd senses something.
Yes. Here
Deborah.
It goes. Wait.
They enter the hole, puts it on. No good. Rebound by Rita. Deborah puts it up again. No good.
Here's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth with the basket.
Oh,
no
man.
Rita is rebounding. Rita, no place to go with that. Ball is deflected. It is loose.
5 seconds.
4 seconds. 3 seconds.
Michael Mayer, what a shot.
For the game. No!
Overtime.
Yeah, overtime.
Overtime.
No overtime.
Don
says no overtime.
So we have...
So what's the official ruling?
Maybe
here,
a shootout. A shootout, Don.
Oh, what, Rob? The official Donkey basketball rules are an additional period played to sudden death. The next basket will win all the marbles.
Sudden death.
All right,
overtime.
Let's get to it then.
There it is. Okay. Get that ball out there.
Sudden death overtime.
You know, I'm favoring a big game, you know, in this one.
I know. I know why. That is over in overtime. That's your
Don. He's on. Oh!
The
Don went down in his helmet. Good thing he had a helmet on. Okay, that's it. Hey, he raises his helmet to the crowd, shows he's okay. I tell you, what a player. What a guts guy.
Don got it up on that ass.
Yeah. Took him to overtime to actually...
Sudden death overtime is underway, Rudy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Sudden death overtime is underway. Charlie Boyle has the basketball.
Okay, here it's going.
Gives it to Omero. Omero has got to win it.
Oh, man.
Too strong.
Okay, well...
Rita has to get on her ass.
Gotta get on your ass. Yes.
Come on, Rita, on your ass.
Yes. Okay.
Ball stolen by Don Geronimo. Into the hands of Charles Broyhill. Broyhill.
Okay. Get on
Geronimo.
The donkey, Don. Get on the donkey.
Geronimo.
It's going the other way now. See?
Geronimo gives it to him.
Here it is.
Has his ass in here.
Deborah trying to block him.
Costing Mike back, back to the game. Off the glass. Good.
Here it is.
On rebound.
Oh, no.
He falls off the donkey.
Elmira.
Had a chance. Spiewak looking to stop the break.
Here he goes.
Deborah looking to win it.
Deborah, put it up there.
Spiewak deflects it to Bridget. The shot's short.
Oh, man. Deborah, you got to take that shot when you get it. That was it. Okay, she's passed off from underneath.
It's not right there. Yeah. She's got to take that shot when she gets it.
She's right next to the basket. She's the girl that was far away from the basket.
I know.
Yeah.
It's bad coaching, Dick. Bad coaching.
What's her name? Deborah.
Deborah,
you've got to get closer to the basket.
Broyhill has his ass running to the hole. Broyhill for the game.
Yeah.
It's over. The winning bucket. And the Don and Mike team win in overtime.
Oh, there's some booze.
There's a booze in the crowd.
But that was a legal basket. It was a legal basket. And
I knew we would win. They're a bunch of girls.
I have pain in my nether regions.
And all you guys, they've been yelling at me, just get on the donkey. Who wants to come down and try? Huh? there's some of them that do. Thank you very much for supporting our kooky donkey basketball game.
We have a great concert coming up with the Bellamy Brothers, who have been nice enough to come here today. It's going to be great.
Now listen, the Bellamy Brothers are going to be doing a sound check.
So if you want to get a beverage, get something to eat, this is a good time to do it. There'll be a brief intermission before the Bellamy Brothers come on.
Dick Van Patten, sponsored by Margelina Restaurant. That's out here in Clinton. Dick also sponsored by NBC Late Night Video. He's very proud of that. And thanks to Country Music Television for supplying the Bellamy Brothers. I want to thank Don and Mike for I had a lot of fun here. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's why you won.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that and keep it going with that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it. Everybody, have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Thanks.
That's fantastic. And, hey, incidentally...
That is a lifelong dream coming true.
That is. And
us on a stage with Dick Van Patten.
I wanted to point out that we were aware that you, as the majority of the crowd, you were against us in the game, and we'd like to say you showed excellent judgment doing that. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, we want to thank all of you for coming and making this a big success today for Children's Hospital.
This is all for the Have a Heart campaign for the abused children at Children's Hospital. And you guys have been terrific. We hope you enjoyed the donkey basketball.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is off the air now.
You're on the air.
Off the air, please.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You're calling on request lines right now.
This is the only number I have. If you want to give me another number so I'm not on the air.
Why would I want to give you another number so you're not on the air?
When you call the request line, you're on the air, and you know it's your prerogative to do whatever you want. You see?
But yeah, I understand.
Well, we take these. You have the option when you're calling a request line to do whatever you want, like to hang up, do whatever you want.
This is the number that was shown on my ID.
Well, yes, and we don't deny that we called yesterday because I wanted to make a bid on your tractor.
We did a bid on the $38,000 tractor.
How much, Mike?
$38,000.
So yes, what did you want to say?
What's up? Hello?
Off the air, please.
No, look, if you're calling it, we're not going to talk to you
off the
air.
What do you want to say off the air? I'll tell you this. I'll take your call off the air.
On the air. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the free advertising.
Our pleasure.
Okay.
Don't mention it.
Our pleasure. Whenever we can, Don's a big Packer fan.
Sure. I am.
He is?
Yeah, I believe that. Okay.
Tell him what your son's name is.
My son is named Bart, after Bart Starr. But listen, no matter how much of a Packer fan I am, I can't imagine anybody in their right mind paying $38,000 for a lawn tractor.
Have you had any takers? Anybody come close?
I don't have to defend myself on the price that I'm asking. Obviously, I'm going nationwide. What I'm asking for is obviously what I will end up taking.
What do you want? What are you asking for?
What do you want?
What are you asking for?
Right, go ahead, push that laugh button again.
Oh, all right. Listen, what is it you want?
Okay, yesterday when you called my wife.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but isn't it against the law to have somebody on the air?
Listen, when we called your wife yesterday, the first thing we said was, we are on the air. You have to notify somebody.
You notify somebody, and that's what we did. And we did.
You did.
Yes, we did.
And during the conversation, she at no point during the conversation...
I can't help it if your wife is so dim-witted, she can't figure that out. But we did say that to her, and we do have a legal department, and we do keep that stuff on file. So what is your next point?
Okay, well, as long as you told her that you were on the
air. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
What's your next point?
That's my only point.
Okay, well, that's it.
And that's a good one. That's a good point. I'd say that point is worth... $38,000.
Anything else?
Do you have a tape of what you said to my wife yesterday? Obviously, since you're a radio station, you must...
Why don't you hire yourself a lawyer, Big Shot, and sue us, okay?
Well, maybe you'll have to end up paying more than $38,000.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Why don't you... Listen, we work for CBS Radio. Write it down. That's C.B.S. I know you're from Wisconsin, so I'll say that a little slower for you. C.B.S.
Can you say that a little slower, please?
I'm telling you, if your bone of contention here is that you think your wife was not notified she was on the air, we did. And we do have proof of that.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Okay, so what's your next point? Any or
that was my only point.
That's your only point. Well,
that's
now
a
you
pretty can... weak point.
That's it.
Well, she never told me that she was notified that she was on the air.
Of course she didn't, but she was.
She didn't even know it was a radio station.
Well, of course she
didn't. The ID caller, she thought it was just some prankster calling her.
It was not a prankster. Well,
I can't believe you don't have pranksters calling, though, advertising a lawnmower for $38,000. Listen, I have a very busy docket today. What else can we do for you?
Send me a tape of what you said to my wife yesterday.
No. I don't have to do that.
I don't have it on tape then.
I don't have to supply you with a tape.
No, we're not obligated to do that.
I'll sell you the tape, okay? For $38,000.
See, we're just having a little fun on our radio show. That's what we do.
And I'm sure all your listeners are out there having a good time.
Of course. They all got a big laugh. I got lots of great feedback about...
You're making me smile. I think it's kind of funny also.
All right, good.
There you go. Then we don't have a problem. And your wife was notified, and
I can defend myself. I'm just worried.
That's good.
I just don't think it's right that you call up my wife and harass her over the phone.
Listen, for the last time, we didn't harass your wife. For goodness sake.
What we did is we called, we asked about the price, and your wife really wasn't even sure about the price. And what we did was when we mentioned $38,000, we played the sound effect. That's all we did.
Okay, well, that's fine, as long as you can prove that you notified her.
I don't have to prove anything. I don't listen.
Was on the air.
Listen, you bratwurst eating nudnik. I don't have to prove anything to you. I don't have to prove a stinking thing to you. My word is my bond, and I'm telling you we did it. If you don't think we did, then you should get yourself a high-powered lawyer and get yourself blah, 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 blah.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Because we did tell her.
I don't have to defend myself to some yahoo from Wisconsin who's trying to rip the people off by selling a tractor for $38,000. Okay, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
All right. Have we made ourselves clear?
No.
Oh, we haven't?
No.
How have we not made ourselves clear?
Steve? You say that you don't have to prove anything, but you're going to have to.
Well, I will wait. I will wait for, what's the lawyer's name there in Mayberry where you live? I will wait for Otis to call. Listen, we got a big legal department, pal.
Well, that's good. It doesn't take what, you think you're bigger because that makes you greater or what?
No, we don't think anything. We're just simply telling you what happened.
Right.
I'm thinking that you're so stupid you can't figure out that when I tell you, you're on the radio now. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling 2.8 million people that when we called your wife yesterday, the first thing we said was, we're on the air. Then we said, we're doing our show. Now, even a rock could figure out. Yeah, and I know that a rock can't talk and a rock can't speak, but even a rock would know at that point, a potted plant would know that they're on the air.
And lots of people hang up on us when we do that. It happens all the time.
I believe it, but I'm
sure.
Clear.
We were nothing but polite to your wife.
Well, as long as you have the tape to prove it.
Fine. Then I'll be waiting to hear from you,
we'll
big
wait.
Man.
We're not under no obligation to send that tape to you.
I'll see you in the people's court.
That's right. We'll be in front of Judge Wapner together.
Why do you think you've been done so wrong? Nothing's happened to you. You were just busted. Someone called your bluff on this $38,000 thing.
What's your address there in Virginia?
You can write to us at North Pole.
Just like Santa Claus.
My name is Santa Claus, and my friend's name is the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
And send it to us at the North Pole.
My advice to you would be to lower the price of that tractor, relax, and enjoy yourself.
Well, you know, it only cost me $89 to run that ad for 2 months.
Sure, well, that's great.
That means you're going to make 37...
Why don't you guys just be quiet and let me say what I want to say.
Why?
It's our show.
I understand that.
You're working under the misnomer that this is some kind of a democracy. This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. $38,000 is too much to charge for a lawnmower, and I don't care if you paid $100,000 for the ad. It's too much.
Now, if you get somebody to pay it, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, call us back. We'll put that on the air. I'd love to interview that guy.
I'll fax you a copy of the check, right?
You don't have to fax us a copy of the check. Just call and leave a message and say you sold it, and we will, as soon as we get that information, we will pass that along to our listeners.
We would take your word. You won't take our word, but we would take yours.
If you really called up and said, yes, I did sell it, we would take your word for it. Because, I mean,
Obviously, $38,000 is the asking price. What I would seriously take for it is a lot lower.
Like what?
I mean, if you're willing, if we're talking price now, would you like to share that with us? Come on.
Listen, well, you know what I've seen around here in Wisconsin, what they go for.
Okay, so there other people have sold Packers.
Yeah, I see them in the Milwaukee Journal.
Yeah, and
here and there.
What's the going price for one in the Milwaukee Journal?
That depends on how many autographs that it has.
All right, say it's got an autograph of the whole Super Bowl winning team.
How much?
More than 10.
More than 10?
More than 10,000.
More than 10,000?
Well, why don't you drop your price by, $28,000?
Yeah, that's possible. I could do that.
Okay, well, you know,
I probably would end up taking 10 for it.
Well, you know, if you're done being mad at us, or we can go two ways with this. If you're done,
hey, who says I'm not done being mad?
All right, he's not done being mad yet.
Mad at you doesn't mean I can't have fun with you.
Okay, that's great. That's
yeah.
Right.
But we'd like to hear from you. You see,
right? Let us know what you finally sell it for.
That would be great because it would be closure on this. Of course, until your lawyer calls us.
Okay, but you have to understand, out of the 320 tractors that were made, this is the only one that gained a national attention.
Well, and listen, if you think that is worth $38,000,
it just might be.
You never know. And once again, if you call us, if you sell that thing for $38,000,
we'll put it on the air.
We will put it on the air,
and then you'll have it all on a big billboard there in Virginia, right?
We'll paint it on our foreheads.
Okay, great.
We'll say Steve sold his tractor for $38,000.
Okay, Steve? Listen, lighten up, my friend, okay?
I'm doing fine.
We're just having some fun.
I know, but I don't think it's right to call my wife. That's the only
thing. Well, for the last damn time, we gave your wife notification.
I understand that, but she doesn't remember.
Listen, I don't have to give people an IQ test if we call them up. The law is, if you tell somebody you're on the air, if they're not bright enough to figure it out, it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Really?
We did.
I understand. I believe you.
Good.
All right. Well, I'm glad you do, Steve, because we're telling you the truth. And we're also telling you the truth about, I really want to find out if you sell that thing for 38 grand. We want to hear from you, and I mean that.
What will you do when I do call you?
We'll give you a standing ovation.
All right.
Yeah, but listen, this is a moot point because you're not going to sell it for 38. Call me.
Probably
listen,
not.
What does it cost you? What's the tractor worth, like $8,000?
Out of the crate?
Yeah, out of the crate.
Well, the Packers won the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Listen, take the signatures out. What is the lawn tractor worth?
Before or after the Packers won the Super Bowl?
Listen, just answer the question, will you? How much
is... dramatically after they won the
How
Super
much?
Bowl. Over five.
I would bet, my final bet would be that you sell it for $5,000. That you won't find anybody dumb enough to pay anywhere near $38,000.
People in Wisconsin are paying more than that, and this is going nationwide.
Have you gotten any offers at all on the tractor?
Yes, I have.
All right, what's the highest offer?
Even before I ran the ad.
What's the highest offer you've gotten for the tractor?
It was 10.
10?
Well, I would advise you to take it. Take the money and run.
Take 10?
That was about 4 months ago.
If you don't get anything from that ad, I'd take the 10.
You get Vince Lombardi to sign it, and I'll give you $38,000, okay?
How about that?
That would be a good one.
Yeah, good one. If
I got him to sign it, I would have to raise the price.
Yes, right.
Okay. Probably $48,000.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Well, I'm glad you guys had your fun.
We did.
Hope you had a little fun too, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys have a good day.
All right. Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. There he is, the toughest man in Wisconsin calling us today.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
Hi, yi, yi.
Yeesh.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The writing is delicious.
The Don and Mike Show. The comedy stars of the Alan Linewan Radio Funhouse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Rob, would you please find out if Steve Goldstein is around? Because he's the reason that we have all these new Frankenstein tapes.
I done a Frankenstein.
Regular listeners of this show remember Steve Goldstein is one of the original sales guys here.
One of the original guys used to be on the show semi-regularly.
And we called him Frankenstein because, well, first he looks like Frankenstein. He walks like Frankenstein. He talks like Frankenstein. He was constantly peppering me all the time. He'd come and go, Donnie, I got an idea for promotion.
Hey, come on, Don.
Hey, Don.
What do you think of that, Don? Hey, how are you?
So now we have all the tapes. We actually got the movie Frankenstein. And those tapes are now labeled Steve Goldstein.
There you go.
And we haven't had him in here yet to break him in.
Just another one of the many people that has left here and then come back here. I mean, this place, people do not leave here. They leave for a while, then they come back. And, you know, tradition started by Andy Rice.
Nope. And hold on.
Just here he comes. Caller 100. Here is
welcome back,
Frankenstein, Steve Goldstein. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys.
Well, let me play your actual long form introduction.
Okay, you go.
It on the stands this time. It's wonderful.
Frankenstein, where is it? Where is it?
Ah! Quiet, you fool! Get away with that torch.
Welcome back, dude.
Good to be back.
Boy, have I missed you, too.
Quick! Catch the rope, quick! Get him to the cellar.
It's a tribute, Steve. It's a tribute.
It's, way it's a monster. So, Steve, where have you been? How long have you been gone?
3 years.
Really, just three? I would have guessed.
I thought it was a year.
Five.
So you've been gone for 3 years, and now you're back.
I'm back.
And you're back in a position of greater power, is that correct?
I don't know about that, but...
You're now the general sales manager, right?
I am, yeah.
Well, and what is the average time that you'll be arriving at the radio station every morning?
Average time?
Yes, the average time.
You were
time.
One of the original workaholics here. You were actually, prior to Tim McWilliams, you were somebody who used to get here. You'd get here, what, 4:30 in the morning, go home about 8 o'clock at night?
Something like that.
What time did you arrive today, Steve?
Well, today a little bit late because we had a morning meeting, but generally I'll be here about 6:30, 7 o'clock.
That's right. And I know all the salespeople
commuting
here
70 miles one way.
Are delighted. Oh, really? 70 yeah. miles.
So what time do you have to leave your house?
Yesterday I left at 5:15.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Man. What's the average time of leaving the station then?
Well, I'll leave at, I have promised that I'll be home. I have a young son.
You do.
His name is Alex.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Son.
And a lovely wife.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Didn't we meet her?
My wife.
Yeah, we know her. We know your wife.
And I have made a promise to be home at 7 o'clock.
That is a promise that you will break. Steve, you are a workaholic. You know it.
Mm-hmm. I really will not break that promise.
Is there any chance of relocation based on the incredible distance that you have to travel now that you are in a management position here?
There is a very, very strong chance at relocation.
Ah, very good. Okay.
And tell me, please, about the animosity that the other staff members feel towards you. After all, you left... Everybody back there thought that they would be promoted up to your position, and yet you got the job. So they all feel great angst towards you.
Do they?
I haven't.
No one sold me.
The Steve Goldstein story that Steve would be brought back in, broken here on this radio show, much to the consternation of many of management members around here. Yes. We let everybody know here, and I guess we caused some difficulty with you at your former employer, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it was supposed to be hush-hush, and I'm...
Yeah, not with us around.
And I had somebody call me in, and she called me in, closed the door, and she said... Did they call you Frankenstein?
Welcome back.
And I said, I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Steve, you will whip the sales department into shape. I know you will.
You know what? The sales department's in excellent shape here. There's not much whipping to be done, quite honestly. We're going to, this, as you know, the station's great. And the station is doing very, very well.
Station great. Station great.
Can't have a serious discussion. I'll tell you, with Alan at the helm and you with his number one henchman, I mean, this place.
He's so commercial.
My goodness. Watch out.
By schedule.
Watch out. Man, oh, man. Oh, man.
Well, Steve, we just wanted to say we're glad to have you back.
Yeah.
It wouldn't seem that way, but...
No, we like you,
no,
Steve.
No, come on, Frankenstein. You're one of our favorites. You
know
really
that.
Are.
You,
you
know
really
that.
Are.
It's a good move. We're very happy to have
Thanks.
You.
It's good to be back. I'm thrilled. I was actually just on the phone with my wife, actually, and I was telling her in...
Me love you.
Just get very nervous if you see the salespeople out there with big sticks and pitchforks. storming your house.
Lighting fire around you. Because that's when Frankenstein goes crazy, when they come in with that big stick on fire.
Right. Absolutely fire. No good.
Well, anyway, if I could finish my sentence that you interrupted me.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
This is the best place. I'm so happy to be back.
Good.
It's a great place to be. All right, I got to go back to work.
All right.
Steve Goldstein. I got to be home by 7.
There
gotcha.
He is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, that guy's a gold mine.
Yes, he is.
Once you really get that guy going,
oh, yeah.
When you get him, like, about his work habits and stuff.
Oh, man, he's incredible.
I leave house 4:15 a.m. All salespeople will check in 5 times a day.
You better believe it.
Oh, great news.
Especially, he said, really good to see you. I really missed you guys.
Frankenstein is back.
Oh, yes. Well, everyone's in place now.
The monster is back.
That's right.
Okay, call her 100 time. All right, a brief cameo by one of our favorite sales guys.
Goodbye.
Steve Frankenstein Goldstein.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like to play the Celebrity Laugh Game.
Yes, you sure can. You're the 100th caller. What is your name?
Mary.
Hi, Mary. Where are you calling from?
McLean, Virginia.
Mary, caller 100. You've won the Sopranos Prize Pack. That means you get the hat, the CD, the book, the shirt. Don't miss an all-new episode of The Sopranos, Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on the HBO.
Awesome.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Garner a guess. Mike, that is not the answer. I'll tell you something that'll piss you off, though.
What?
Do you know who did get the celebrity?
Who?
Totally on his own? No, not Buzz.
No.
No, certainly no. Not Buzz. Okay. Certainly not.
Of course not.
That's silly. That's crazy talk. What the hell got into you?
Bart figured it out.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I swear to God.
Oh, man!
I came home last night and said, hey, Dad, I think I know who it is.
Oh, Bart's smarter than I am on a lot of levels.
Boom, he had it.
Oh, dang. I just want it.
Your clues are, she's kind of old. She's been nominated for 3 Academy Awards. She's won none. She's won a Golden Globe. She was not nominated in the Academy Awards nominations earlier this week. And did I mention that she's also been in many sequels?
Okay.
You think you have an idea?
I have a guess.
You have a guess.
Good.
Then you will play for $1,000 Frankenstein dollars.
$1,000.
$1,000. Are you ready?
Ready.
We wish you Godspeed. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Over the Top Robert Goulet.
Oh, I love the Goulet. You're going to sing and the odds are in my favor?
Yes, of course.
Uh-huh. We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There she is. And the new clue. She's kind of old. If you can tell us who that celebrity is who's laughing, you win $1,000.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
That's my new favorite.
Yes.
You just keep doing that every time.
All right, no problem.
Yes! Oh, yes. Yes,
$1,000. Who is that?
Sigourney Weaver.
Would you please repeat that?
Sigourney Weaver.
As in...
As an alien?
Sigourney Weaver is...
That's right.
Oh!
Correct. Oh, I thought so.
Wow.
When she said it, the way you guys were looking, way to go. You're the winner.
Awesome.
Correct. Cool. Congratulations. You have just won. Rob, where's that that musical? Oh, here we go.
Fanfare. Right.
Wow. You have just won $1,000.
Excellent.
Good one. Boy, that was a great secret celebrity. Fantastic.
Yes, that is Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, fantastic. Mm.
Sigourney Weaver. How the hell did you get that?
I heard it this weekend driving around on one of your promos, and it just struck me.
Oh, really? So you got it before one of the clues?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I looked it up on the web, and the clues don't match. On one of the websites, it doesn't say that she won a Golden Globe.
Ah, but she has.
I was right.
Go to SigourneyWeaver.com.
There you go.
She has her own website that has all this biographical information about... What was your name again?
Mary.
Mary, enjoy your 1,000 American dollars.
Excellent. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Secret Celebrity Laugh number 3 in the books.
Oh, that's great.
That's it.
That was super tough.
It was, in fact, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
There
yeah,
she is.
And when you say it and then you hear her, you can see there's a little Sigourney there.
Sure. And the scuttlebutt had been that she had been in some artsy-fartsy movie
right.
that nobody saw this year. She was going to be nominated for an Academy Award. And her next clue was going to be that she was in a science fiction movie, which, okay. of course, would have been Alien.
Sure. That would have gotten given it away right away.
And then our last ditch was going to be something about Galaxy Quest.
Okay. All right.
So, it in fact, is Sigourney Weaver. Enjoy your $1,000.
Good
Thank
one.
You.
Yes, that's great. Hold on a second, please. And Godspeed. That means tomorrow we will have Secret Celebrity Laugh number 4.
All right, and you boys already have that in the works?
Yeah, yeah.
Tougher or easier?
Tougher.
Oh, my God.
It's tougher.
Wow.
Much tougher. But, you know, like you just said, when you know who it is...
Yeah, it's you can make the connection, which is the way...
then you finally noodle it through.
That's perfect.
But I think number 4 is tough. Rob, you don't have number 4 on cart yet, do you?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay, well... We'll preview it for you tomorrow in the first part of the show.
All right.
That means we're done with the Secret Celebrity Laugh for today.
Yeah.
We will debut Secret Celebrity Laugh number 4 tomorrow.
Right.
Again, your correct answer is Sigourney Weaver.
Aha! I had no idea.
The old Sigourney Weaver. She's kind of old.
She's kind of old, yes. I mean, it was right there. The clues were right there. They were good clues. The alien, science fiction would have probably given a lot of people the heads up.
Yeah.
But Mary had a little bit ahead of the curve, I think.
Yeah, and if you had gone to an Oscar website,
right.
we checked it out. There are 12 actresses who have been nominated 3 times and never won.
She's been nominated 3 times.
3 times, never won an Academy
She's
Award.
Nominated for The Year of Living Dangerously?
I have no idea what she was nominated for. I just know she had 3 nominations.
Really? I wonder what she was nominated for.
I don't know. Someone knows, I'm sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Did you get a winner yet?
Yes. Yeah, do you have a radio?
Yeah, but I'm just not at it.
You're just not in it?
Not at it.
Not at it?
Yes, we have a winner.
Great.
Who did you think it was?
Swoozy.
Swoozy Kurtz?
Yeah.
No, it was Sigourney Weaver.
Cool.
Thank you.
Radio bad.
Christ, am I glad that guy didn't win.
Not at it, not with it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you. How are you?
Fine. You said Sigourney Weaver's kind of old. She's about you guys' age, isn't she?
Right, like I said, kind of old.
Kind of old. She would not be like the young actresses, but that's a very good point.
Got you covered.
Actually, I think Sigourney Weaver's older than us. She's got to be.
She's definitely older than
us. At least 5'0", right?
I think she's up, she's late 40s at the very youngest.
I bet she is. Hey, Buzzy?
Get on the website, you find out.
Here we go. Buzz, Father Time, please go to SigourneyWeaver.com.
Or you could get somebody faster to do it.
Because remember, she was still not even young in Ghostbusters, and that was 84, so that was 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Maybe she's 60. Hello.
Buzz, would you like to play my hot slot machine?
Buzz is very busy right now, Jorge.
Jorge, he cannot be bothered with your incestuous calls right now.
Can't play.
Take quarters, Buzz.
Can't play right now.
Fill me up with your change.
So Buzz is doing a very important job for us right now. Do we have Buzz's internet music? Ah.
Don.
Yes, Jorge.
Can Buzz pull my lever?
Buzz is doing some important work right now.
I'm a very giving slot machine.
He wants you to be a slot machine.
Netscape is unable to locate the server at www.sigourneyweaver.com.
Go to Yahoo.
All right.
Forget about that.
Yeah.
What about my hot slot? What is this? Come on, Buzz.
Go to Yahoo and do a search on Sigourney, please.
Jorge's very frustrated.
I do not have a computer.
You know what's funny watching Buzz at the computer? Is that, you know how, like when you're watching a grandpa on a computer, how when someone looks at something,
yes.
they lift their head up in that old man way, like
so freaking
like
old.
This, like...
Yeah.
Do not be silly. You are not old.
Not old. Jorge doesn't think you're old.
Some you are well aged, like a fine piece of beef.
No. So Buzz is craning his neck in that
yes.
old man way.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can support myself with my cane.
Strain your neck, Buzz.
Thank you. Buzz is a nightmare
Strain
right
your
now.
Neck.
You've got the old man music.
Canes are
gotten
throbbing.
Way over that.
How's it going, Buzz?
We're looking at the Sigourney Weaver pages. They've ceased to be due to lack of time, it says. Let me try a different one. There are several listed.
This is rapidly becoming one of my favorite parts of the show.
I know.
Buzz surfs the net.
Right.
Father Time.
And don't we have a dedicated, like, T2 line? Don't we have a...
Don't we have a
Man
line?
River.
Don't we have a line here that gives us instant
Listen,
access?
Seriously, if you'd like to do this, you're welcome to.
I would if they'd have the internet in here, but I swear to God,
believe me, I'm not enjoying this.
The only research I was able to come up with is her first movie was 1977. She had a bit part in Annie Hall.
Okay, where'd you find that out?
In the Leonard Maltin book. I love Leonard Maltin.
Hey, did you get the message from our friends at Mindspring on your? Did you get emailed?
No.
I got emailed.
I don't have Mindspring.
Remember, we got a complimentary Mindspring.
I don't use that. I use AOL.
Well, I used it because it was free.
Right. Oh, shocker.
And then they said, you know, do you want it? And they said, yeah. You said Jorge is still on the line.
What, Jorge? What?
Buzz, I have a big jackpot waiting for you.
I bet you do, Jorge.
Right. What did...
They just said we're no longer advertising, and therefore your complimentary account is no longer... expires at the end of the month, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Hello, Miriam.
Yes, I have the movies.
You do?
I was call number 99 in the 100 contest.
All right, Miriam. Did you go on the web to find that?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did.
1987, Best Actress, Aliens.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, 89... Best Actress, Girls in the Mist, and 89 also Best Supporting Actress in Working Girl.
Ah!
Beautiful. Thank you, Miriam.
Very good. And she was nominated twice in 1 year.
You were able to just instantly go to the internet and find that information?
Well, I had that information previously because I wanted to win the contest.
Okay.
Did it in advance.
That's right.
Buzz is very defensive about his internet skills.
It's okay, Buzz.
You still trying to look that up, Buzz?
All the pages that have been listed by Yahoo are either out of business, they're dead, they're no longer existent, or it's just a photo gallery. That's all I've been able to find through Yahoo on your advice so far.
Okay. During the commercial, don't push me, but during the commercial, I'll go back to the computer in the producer's room.
Okay.
And I'll pull up the page.
So it's going to be a race?
Yeah, a race.
Hell no.
You can do it. You can do it right now while we're on the air. I'll go do it when we break for commercials.
You're going to use the computer on the left or the right?
It doesn't matter. They're both the same.
Because the computer on the left is very slow.
I think, I don't think that there's much of a difference in the speed of those computers.
In the speed of the two?
Yeah, I think.
So they're both a little slow?
They're both hooked up to the same thing. Every time I use those computers, they're rather quick, really. You mean the ones in the producer's room?
Yeah.
No, I like those computers.
I mean, when I log on, they're slow. It takes a while for them to log on. When you get on the, the website, when you get on the internet, they move fairly well.
Ah. Still looking, Buzz?
I'm trying a different search engine now because the last one was not productive.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Miriam, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, baby. All right. In fact, it is Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Congratulations. Mary wins $1,000.
And we're finding out everything about Sigourney Weaver now. It's Sigourney Weaver Day on the show.
Hello, David.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dynamike. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Took my kids this weekend to see the Tigger movie.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, there's a scene where the rest of the characters are pretending to be his family. And up on the mantelpiece are two candles, which without a doubt for about 2 seconds were two...
They did it again?
I'm sure they did it again.
Those nasty animators that get frustrated?
Normally the disgruntled cartoonists who put in Disney cartoons, they don't get noticed until the movies come out on video.
Yeah, that'd be, what a horrible reason for everyone to go see the Tigger movie.
I would agree with you. It definitely had, I guess you would say these candles had a helmet up top.
Are you sure it's not just you?
There's certainly a possibility of that. I mean, maybe I'm looking for
it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a major announcement to make. Buzz has found out Sigourney Weaver's age.
She's 5 years and 1 day older than I am at 51.
Buzz, way to go.
Thank you.
Way to go.
You did it, Buzz.
Sure.
Buzz,
she was born October 8th, 49.
That's correct.
That's right.
Buzz Burbank, internet expert. Webmaster, Buzz Burbank. You're like Spider-Man. You're the webmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go, Buzz. Thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Where did you finally find that information, Buzzy?
Well, I used the Netscape search engine, as a matter of fact, since all the Yahoo ones you mentioned for me were worthless.
Right.
Thanks for the dead end.
Yeah. Right. Yahoo's a big dead end. You know, Yahoo sucks. Nobody uses Yahoo these days.
Right.
Well, I think we all ought to get computer terminals. I think we all should have them.
Rob? Well, we could certainly have a race in here to see who could get on the net faster. I think my chance is against Father Time.
You know, the best way to do it is not to even use the search engine. The best way to do it is to know the website.
Oh, and you know what? Speaking of the web, I got a great quiz. Maybe I could go pull it off my email. If not today, tomorrow or the next day.
Buzz can get it for you.
It is a quiz. No. It is a quiz about personality.
Ah.
And it's not so much that it's a great quiz to find out what kind of person you are.
Right.
But as I was looking at the questions, I thought it'd be interesting for each of us to fill out this quiz and then to have people call in on the air and see if they can guess what our answers will be.
Oh, that's terrific.
Because there were questions about morals, sex.
Oh, here we go. Probably how many drinks do you have a week? Those things.
Politics.
Right.
Religion.
Okay.
Alcohol.
Alcohol's on there?
Yeah.
Don't applaud that, Rob. That's not good for us.
You know, off the top of my head, let me just see. Maybe we'll do this on the fly right now.
Okay.
One of the questions was, how many people have you had sex? Number of sex partners.
Okay.
Number of partners. Another question was...
Yeah, I wish you had this. This is cool.
Oh, crap. Let me see. Have you ever shoplifted before?
Okay.
Here's one that I know you'd be interested in, Mike. Have you ever bounced a check? Have you ever lied to a creditor before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever declared bankruptcy? That was another one. Have you ever had a car repossessed?
Okay.
Then it was on to politics. Are you Republican, Democrat, or other?
All right. I know that you're not writing down those questions.
Well, that I can remember.
Okay.
Are you Republican or Democrat or other? What's the last election you voted in?
Mm-hmm.
What is your religion? Do you believe in God? Do you believe there is a heaven? Do you believe there is a hell?
What about the last one?
Do you believe that you have lived in another life?
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? And, of course, Catherine Kuhlman, do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in magic? Bad Billy Warner.
Do you believe in magic?
Hell,
this
heaven.
Is Man Watchers Compliment Week.
Past lives. Well, that's not a bad question. I mean, they had a lot.
That's a good question. I mean, you seem to have quite a few of the questions there.
They had a lot of more specific questions.
Okay.
About sex and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the questions was, have you ever used a condom? Why don't we all just, Robbie, why don't you whip us up some copies of this?
All right.
Hey, Father Time, are you writing that stuff down?
I just wrote down my answers so far.
Oh, really? Already? Yes. Sure.
See, now let me point out what just happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz was faster than both of us with writing down his answers.
Oh, well, give me some credit. I'm trying to remember the questions, and I'm writing the questions down. You are sitting there like little Jack Horner with your thumb in the pie.
I'm just pointing out a fact that he was faster than everyone in the room.
Okay. I was trying to play his music again, but it was not queued up.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the questions are... Have you ever used a condom?
Am I supposed to write down my answers now?
Yes, why don't we all do this now and we'll have people call it and guess our answer.
All right.
Okay, first question.
Oh, man, I hate it when I have to get up.
Have you ever used a condom?
Okay. And we're putting these in numerical order, correct?
Yes, question one. Have you ever used a condom?
All right.
Question number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number of sexual partners you've had. Okay. Have you ever had Question number four. Have you ever had a homosexual fantasy? Question number five. Have you ever had a homosexual dream? Question number six. Have you ever shoplifted? Question seven, have you ever bounced a check?
Mm-hmm.
Question number eight, have you ever lied to a creditor? Question number nine, have you ever declared bankruptcy? Question number 10, hold on a second, I forgot one there.
Okay, we're up at 10, right?
Up to 10, all right, your political party of choice.
Okay.
Have you voted before?
Just in general?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. For president. Have you voted for president?
Mm-hmm.
What is the last election you voted for president in? What year?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Nice to see you. How you doing?
What is your religion?
What if you've been kicked out?
What's your religion right now?
I don't know.
get input. I don't know. 14, do you believe in heaven? 15, do you believe in hell? And 16, do you believe in past lives? Okay, that's good. There's 16 questions there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody answer?
Yes.
You know, we'll go through these. Here's what we'll do.
Okay.
We'll take calls at 1-877-365-3636. I think to win a prize, we can have someone do it for me, you,
okay,
Buzzy, Rob, and Chuck Broyhill.
All right.
How many do you think to win a prize out of 16 they'd have to get right?
10.
10?
10 out of 16.
Really? That's very lenient.
You think maybe we can go more, but I wouldn't go less.
What do you think, Buzz?
I think 10 is a good figure.
Robbie? 10's
good.
10?
Out of 16?
Sure. 10 out of 16 wins you a prize.
10 out of 16 you get a prize, okay? And you can't pick who you want to play for. You just call up and you just get whoever it is.
Okay, so you have to take each individual, right?
Yeah, because I see already we have some people that want to play for me and some people want to play for you and some people want to play for Buzz.
So you just call in and we're going to do it on a rotating basis.
You'll just get one of the five of us right now. If you get 10 out of the 16.
This is fun.
You're a winner. We will be right back. So call Erica right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The whole world's gone gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay listening. The Don and Mike Show.
I'm going to try to give away some fabulous prizes to see how well you know the Don and Mike Show.
That's good. I like that.
We have 16 questions, and I believe what we decided is if you get 10 out of 16...
You're a winner.
You're a winner. So, guys, be honest.
Are you talking to us or the people that are calling in?
I'm talking to you guys.
Right.
You guys who took the test.
I'm never anything but.
Okay, then... Would you like to go first?
Surely.
Okay, let's go to Phil.
Phil?
Hi, Phil. Phil?
Yes.
Hi, Phil. Where are you calling from?
Alexandria.
Phil, you'll be playing with Mike.
Okay.
And if you get 10 out of 16 correct, you will win a prize.
I'd like to show you that one of my answers was changed down here. I'd like to show you that in advance.
That's fine.
All right? You'll notice that none of these other answers have been altered.
Gotcha. Very good. Mike?
Well, the last one here wasn't.
Mike, have you ever worn a condom? Phil, what did Mike answer?
Yes.
What did he say?
Yes.
All right.
Your answer, Mike?
Yes.
That's one for you, Phil.
Congratulations, Phil.
Question number two. Phil, how many sexual partners has Mike had?
Mike. Say 14, Mike.
Close.
Mike, how many?
I put down 20.
All right, you got that one wrong.
I'm a whore.
Not as bad as some of us.
I'm just guessing, too. That was a guess. That was the toughest one to answer.
Mike, have you ever had a homosexual fantasy? Phil, has Mike ever had a homosexual fantasy?
No.
Mike.
That is correct.
Is somebody counting how many this guy has, right?
I'm counting. He's got 3 out of 4.
Mike, have you ever had a homosexual dream? Phil, has Mike ever had a homosexual dream?
Yep.
Mike?
Phil? I'm sorry to tell... Yes. Yes, I have. I couldn't tell you what one it was, but I know I've had one.
Mike, have you ever shoplifted?
No.
Well, hold on.
Thank you. No.
I'm sorry. I was eager in my denial.
All right, that one doesn't count, Phil.
All right. Yes. Yes, I have. No, I haven't.
Phil, has Mike ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes, I have.
Phil, has Mike ever lied to a creditor?
Yes.
Oh, Phil. Yes, you're right.
Phil, has Mike ever filed for bankruptcy?
No, I don't think he's gone that far.
Mike? Oh, you don't know me, Phil. No, I haven't.
Phil, what is Mike's choice when it comes to political parties?
Are you a Democrat, Mike?
You are correct, Phil.
Has Mike voted for president, Phil?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Wait a minute.
What is the last year that Mike voted in the presidential election, Phil?
99.
In the presidential election.
Was the question last presidential election or the last time we voted?
No, presidential election.
Okay.
Okay.
I would have answered affirmative to either one of them.
Right, you made that clear.
So he said the last one, and that technically he is right.
Yep.
All right, so it's the last time you voted?
No, did you vote in the last? I think the question should be, since you're asking, what, did you vote in the last presidential election?
Okay.
Because that's what I thought it was.
All right, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike, what is your, Phil, what is Mike's religion?
Catholic.
Mike.
I do not have a religion.
I'm sorry.
I lost it there.
Phil, does Mike believe in heaven?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes, of course I do. Yes, I do believe there is a heaven.
Phil, does Mike believe in hell?
Yes.
Mike?
You are correct, Phil. With all of my fiber and being, I believe there is a hell, and I believe we might all be going there.
And Phil, does Mike believe in past lives?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, kind of. I believe in a whole... I believe in everything, if then I haven't mentioned that.
He might be a winner. How many did he get right, Mike?
14 out of 16.
Wow.
With my eager one that I jumped in on there.
You know Mike pretty good.
Yes, yeah. Very good, Phil.
Phil, you win all the Soprano stuff from HBO. Hold on, please, Phil.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Good job, Phil.
Thanks a lot. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. I think I'll play with Mandy.
Mandy.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi.
Mandy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Beautiful. Mandy, you'll be playing with me, Don.
Great.
This is Don, Mandy. Say hi.
Hi, Don. Hi, Don.
Hi there. Mandy, have I ever used a condom?
Yes.
No.
No?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't lie.
Wow.
Sorry, Leah.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
No, okay. He's telling the truth. What reason would he have to lie?
Where do you get to some of my other answers?
Okay.
Mandy, how many sexual partners have I had?
15.
Oh. I'm waiting for this one.
40.
No.
That's good. Close to the truth.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Mandy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Mr. 20. Mandy.
Yes.
Have I ever had a homosexual fantasy?
No.
That's correct. Have I ever had a homosexual dream?
Yes.
No.
No?
I have not, I would tell you. I really would tell you. Have I ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, of course I have. Have I ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
To Mike. Mandy, have I ever lied to a creditor?
Yes.
Yes. Mandy, have I ever filed for bankruptcy?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh!
I have.
Right. Me too.
I have, Mandy.
There you go.
A long time ago, but I did.
Oh.
What is my political party of choice?
Democrat.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Have I voted for president?
Yes.
Did I vote in the last election?
Yes.
Yes. What is my religion?
Ooh, Catholic.
Geez. Catholic? No.
Sorry.
Episcopalian.
Oh.
Do I believe in heaven?
Yes.
Yes. Do I believe in hell?
Yes.
No.
No?
I don't.
I see.
Do I believe in past lives?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Let me add those up. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Just got in there.
Barely
just
made barely. It.
You got in there, Mandy.
Yes.
You barely made it, Mandy.
I just called wanting to for you guys to give me something for the weekend. My husband and I are finally getting away for the weekend, away from the kids.
Oh, that's great, good. Mandy. You came and you gave without taking.
Well, enjoy your Sopranos prize pack from HBO.
Sopranos.
Thank you. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you.
Hold on, please, darling. Okay, let's go to Buzz next.
That's interesting. Yours was very interesting. I like that.
Honest. Yeah. I can't wait to hear the rest of the guys.
Yes, now I'm fascinated because we know less and less about, after Buzz, Rob and Charlie will be...
They're the mystery.
Yes, I think Broyhill will be the biggest mystery
of
all.
I believe so.
Yes, he will.
And the most prone to lying.
We may have to lower the bar there. But yeah, I think that Mike and I have demonstrated that we are honest about this.
And we're consistent.
Yeah,
very
right.
much so. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Next up is the enigma known as Buzz Burbank.
They should get 18 out of 16 on this exam. I'm pretty well known.
Here is Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, Billy. Where are you calling from, Brian?
Well, actually, right now I'm on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I want to thank you guys. I love listening to your show. I drive from the Eastern Shore all the way back to outside Annapolis every day, and you guys make this commute fly by.
Oh, you're very nice. Thank you.
You're very nice.
Brian, you will be playing with Buzz Burbank.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to give me the enigma known as Charlie Broyhill.
If you get 10 out of 16 correct,
okay,
you will win the Sopranos prize pack.
Okay.
Has Buzz ever used a condom?
Yes.
Buzz?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, that's one. Buzz, keep track of his correct answer, please.
It.
What is the number of sexual partners Buzz Burbank has had?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say 25.
I estimated 18 to 20, sorry.
18 to 20.
Okay.
Counting the swapping?
Yes. In fact, 18 to 20.
Has Buzz ever had a homosexual fantasy?
Fantasy, no.
No is correct.
Has Buzz ever had a homosexual dream?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Would you care to tell us about it?
Yeah, I remember it. It's a few years back, but it involved my wife and David Bowie. Go figure.
You're a good one, Buzz. Has Buzz ever shoplifted?
Does night dreams count?
No, has Buzz ever shoplifted?
I'm going to say no.
The answer is yes.
Oh! Buzz the bad boy.
As you a kid, kid. I was goaded into it as a kid.
Has Buzz ever bounced a check?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Well, you've never bounced a check?
Never.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Banks, there have been bank screw-ups, but I made them correct it. And no, I've never bounced a check.
I believe that.
I'm proud of you, Buzz.
That's our Buzz. Has Buzz ever lied to a creditor?
No.
The answer is no.
Wow. Okay, Superman.
Yeah.
Has Buzz ever filed for declared bankruptcy?
No.
No is right.
Correct again.
He's got the perfect credit record on this show.
Yes.
What is Buzz's political party of choice?
I think Buzz is an independent.
Buzz?
I wrote Democrat.
Up, Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, Buzz. I wouldn't have known that.
Oh, really?
Really? Just with your slant on the news and all.
It's an ultra-right-wing slant on the news. Yeah, he's the biggest liberal in the room.
And that gigantic McCain and 2000 sticker on the back of your car.
Hey, I liked Ike. I like McCain.
Has Buzz voted in a presidential election?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
When's the last time Buzz voted? Did Buzz vote in the last presidential election?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, we should say that about this show. We don't have a lot of convictions on this show, but I will tell you, we're all pretty much into the voting. We're loopy for the voting.
We care.
Mm-hmm.
What is Buzz's religion?
If the joke is right, he's a Methodist.
The answer is Methodist.
Methodist. Methodist it is.
Wow.
Does Buzz believe in heaven?
Yes.
I put no.
Wow.
Does Buzz believe in hell?
No.
I put no.
Does Buzz believe in past lives?
No.
And the answer is no.
Well, this guy probably scored bigger than anybody.
How many did he get, Buzz?
He missed three, so he got 13 out of 16.
13 out of 16. Very nice.
Good job, sir.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you again. I love listening to your show. You guys are the gods.
Thank you. Hold on, please, for your Sopranos prize pack.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Well, we've had three winners thus far.
Three winners, and I think so far, Buzz, your contestant did the best.
I think so.
Being the fact that your life is an open book.
Pretty much, that's true.
Let's go to Rob Spiewak now.
Here we go.
I think we're all pretty open. I think the three guys that you've heard thus far, me, Mike, and Buzz, we're very open. Now we get to the secretive guys, Robbie and Charlie.
I'm just racked with guilt right now. I just want to go on record. My person already won, but I may have lied about the homosexual fantasy.
Hello. Hi, Pam.
May have.
Hello. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. I'm in Maryland.
And just because I was thinking that way, when you said, hi, Pam, I thought you were talking to Rob.
Pam, you will be playing with Rob Spiewak.
That's a little bit of pressure.
Yes, it is. If you get 10 out of 16, you win the Sopranos prize pack.
Okay.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak ever used a condom?
Yes.
She is right. Wearing one right now.
Pam, what is the number of sexual partners Rob Spiewak has had?
I'm going to say 10.
Robbie?
Lower.
How many?
Six.
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 Six. Pure as the driven snow among this company.
Phenomenally
lucky ladies.
Ladies. That's right.
Ladies.
Six ladies. But you'll know them if
and
you
how
them.
Many of the six were consensual?
Screaming is a turn on for me. Muffled screaming is the best.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak had a homosexual fantasy?
I'm going to say yes.
Thank you. No. What a sweet lady.
Although
after talking to her,
has Rob Spiewak ever had a homosexual dream?
Yes.
No.
Good for you.
I should have gone with the same theme.
Have you? Did I forgot what you answered with that?
No.
One.
No on
so both.
Both
you boys. No and no.
Right.
Okay.
Right, Mike.
All right.
Right, Mike.
Okay. Yes.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Pam, you underestimate me. I have never stolen anything.
Oh,
and he's,
man.
Boy, he had that serious Rob look.
Pam?
I come from a family of merchants.
That's true. Has Rob Spiewak ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Yes, but not since my wife has taken over the checking account. We're better about
that. Way to go.
Now.
I appreciate your honesty. Not like Buzz with that bank error.
Pam, has Rob Spiewak ever lied to a creditor?
No.
She's right. I've never lied to a creditor.
Wow. You're such a liar.
What would I lie about?
Please, everybody lies to creditors. That, except Buzz.
That's right. So you and me, we believe everyone is lying about that, and no. I think we're secure in that.
Yeah. Never lied to credit. Right. Never had a reason to.
Just let us believe that you're lying. It would be easier, Rob.
All right.
Thank you.
Has Rob ever filed for or declared bankruptcy?
No.
That is right.
You'd never know it to talk to him, though.
What is Rob's political party of choice?
Democrat.
That is not right.
Certainly not right.
What are you, Rob?
Really, it's hard to say because I don't have any strong political leanings, but if anything, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
Good for you, Rob.
Just like Don.
Has Rob voted in the presidential election?
Yes.
Yes is right.
Did Rob vote in the last presidential election?
No.
That was wrong. I vote in every election. State, county, and
more region. Than once. What is Rob A's religion?
School board.
Right. I've done it.
What is Rob A's religion?
Rob's Jewish?
Absolutely. No. Methodist.
Methodist.
Methodist?
Yes. I used to be a Catholic, but the proper answer is Methodist.
Does Rob believe in heaven?
Yes.
And I work there. yes, I do believe in heaven.
Does Rob A believe in hell?
Yes.
I'm married, aren't I? Yes.
Bada bing.
No, I'm kidding, darling.
And finally, hey, darling. Finally, does Rob Spiewak believe in past lives?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry.
He does not. Robbie, how many did she get correct?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for Pam.
Oh, Pam.
Too bad, Pam.
I am sorry, Pam.
Pam, you just didn't know Rob.
Sorry, baby.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Invite you.
Get to know me.
Goodbye. All right, now, time for the real wild card.
Oh, yeah, we're all looking forward to this one.
Yes, we are.
Producer Charles Broyhill, step up, please.
Here we go. I'm really looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm. Here comes Charlie Broyhill, and to play with Charlie, we have Rick. Hi there, Rick.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy, where are you calling from?
Rochester, New York.
Listening on WHTK. Rick?
Rick, let me give you a piece of advice before you start with Charlie. I think maybe you might want to break out the eight ball. to help you with your answers here.
Whatever Rick? I think the answer is going to be, it's going to be opposite what I think.
Rick, has Charles Broyhill ever used a condom?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
That I'm surprised at.
What is the sexual number of partners Charles...
see what I use it for.
Charles Broyhill has had. How many sexual partners has he had?
I'd have to go with 19.
No.
What's the number?
Higher.
What's the number?
50.
Oh, 50. My.
50. Good God. Man. Good man. Easily the most honest man on this panel.
You ho.
With that question. Has Charles Broyhill ever had a homosexual fantasy?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'm sorry. That one right. You got that one right.
You're all just being so dishonest.
Has Charlie Broyhill ever had a homosexual dream?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh, he's doing well with Charlie.
Has Charlie ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Many times.
Oh, God. Has Charlie ever bounced a check?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Would that also be many times?
No, just once.
Oh, okay.
And it was my fault, not Buzz's.
Thank you.
Has Charlie ever lied to a creditor?
Who hasn't? Yes, he has.
I have not.
Oh! You know what, Mike? You and I are the only ones man enough to come clean on this issue.
I know.
Has Charlie ever filed for or declared bankruptcy?
No.
No, I haven't.
Can you turn your radio down there, Rick?
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Turn it down, please.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, now we're going to get into the tough questions, even tougher than the sex questions. Mm-hmm. What is Charlie's political party of choice?
Democrat?
No.
What is it?
I don't have one.
He does not have one.
Shocker of shockers.
Has Charlie ever voted in the presidential elections?
Yes.
No.
No, he has not.
Wow. Wow.
Did he vote in the last
no.
presidential election?
No.
Well, that's an easy question.
Well, hey, but it works. Okay. What is Charlie Broyhill's religion?
Catholic.
I don't practice any.
Does Charlie Broyhill believe in heaven?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
He's here now in heaven.
Hearing you say that makes me laugh. I don't know why.
Does Charles Broyhill believe in hell?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
And does Charles Broyhill believe in past lives?
No.
I do.
Wow.
Man.
He's got to be a big loser. How many get
eight.
Right?
Eight.
Oh, eight.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
All right, there you go. That's the segment called Do You Know the Don and Mike Show?
And we can do this with lots of questions.
Sure.
Sure we can. We can revisit this little nervous segment.
We can explore. We can do one quiz just based on sexuality.
Absolutely.
Another quiz just based on morals.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. You know, I wish everybody hadn't shut down the gay fantasy question.
Well.
No, my answer was no. My answer was no, no, no.
No, you had a gay dream, though.
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was. Well, so did Buzz. What about David Bowie?
I know.
Mine was about a real man. I don't know.
So to recap.
Brian Dennehy.
To recap, my girl had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 correct. Mike, your guy who played with you had how many right?
I think 12.
Buzzy, your guy had?
13.
13. Robbie, your girl had?
Niner.
Niner, and Charlie's guy had
eight.
Eight correct.
Wow.
All right, that's the quiz.
Boy, that was a very, very nervous little segment.
Yes, it was. It sure was. We should do that again sometime in the future.
I think it's a great idea.
Hey, you know what? I'd like to do it real fast.
Your honey?
Yeah, if anybody wants to play with Frida.
Oh, good.
Let me get her on the telephone right now. Oh, no, Mike, someone on the telephone. I don't want you to play with her. I'm going to give someone a chance to win a prize.
All right, very good.
I'd be curious to know some of her answers.
Hello?
Hey, hi. Hello. Hey, hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, hi, buddy.
Hey, you're with me.
I'm not doing it with you. Put Mommy on the phone.
You
please.
Haven't lived long enough yet.
Oh, come on.
No, come on, put Mommy
Mom
on.
Mom says you should do it with me. She doesn't want to.
Oh, really? What would Mommy have to hide?
I don't know.
Why don't you please put Mom on the phone?
Sugar Bear, you couldn't get 10 right with me.
You don't think so? Oh, what do you want to bet?
Oh, bad sell.
Bad sell, hold on.
Now, everyone's curiosity is at a fever pitch.
The intrigue grows.
This is interesting. What do you think of that statement?
I don't know.
That's interesting. These aren't real tough, right?
I was not the first.
Sure.
You know, in my wife's life.
Hi, I'm not on my cell phone right now.
All right, she's in a bad cell.
Oh, man.
Let me give her a second to see if she calls back.
Okay. Yeah, because that was just an interesting statement. You couldn't get 10 with me.
I bet I could.
I bet you could, too. I'd lay odds that you could. Sure.
Sure I could. I mean, a lot of them I know.
Of course.
Like her religion and her political party and if she voted in the past lives crap. It must all be based on the sex thing.
Yeah, it would mean that you would probably have to go like 0 for 4 on the first 4.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd kill it this game. Come on, honey. Pull the car off on the side of the road, please.
But you're not going to be playing, right? A listener's going to be playing. You should play along with the listener. Unless you feel that you have to play.
Well, now, I feel like she's thrown down the gauntlet.
That's interesting.
Saying that I couldn't get 10 out of 16 correct.
I'm not playing with you, my sugar bear, but I'll play at Home Alone tonight.
You'll play what?
I'll play with you the home version tonight.
Oh, come on. Why are you afraid to play?
Please. I'm not afraid, but I'm a mother, and I've got a certain responsibility to my child.
Is it question?
Thank you. To set a good example and not to embarrass him.
Is it question three? I had nothing to be embarrassed about.
You know what? These are questions that you've never had the nerve to ask me face to face. And
right.
So if you want to do that tonight and keep it just between me and you,
I could not make that promise.
Well, then I can't, because we have a child and I can't put him in a situation that is potentially embarrassing.
Why? What's embarrassing? I'll tell him flat out. I've never had a homosexual fantasy. I've never had a homosexual dream.
What would be embarrassing if you did have a homosexual dream?
there's nothing wrong with that.
That's
Mike.
Right. Nothing. There's That's anything right. wrong with that.
All right. Well, I'm going to guess that, yes, my wife has been with a guy who's used a condom. Is that correct?
I couldn't believe that you've never used one.
I never have.
Back over our in the early days of us.
We never used one.
I guess you would remember. I don't really even remember that.
We never did.
Well, anyway, I'm not having this discussion because of Bart. If I didn't have Bart, I would tell you everything right up. But he's got to have one parent that at least has the potential of having, you know, more open things.
Hey, what did I say by answering these questions that somehow cut into my morality? It's no secret that I shoplifted. I'm not proud of that, but that's not a secret. It's no secret that I filed for bankruptcy. That's not anything I wouldn't tell him. You know, what is it? That I've never worn a condom?
Hello? Oh, no. Now that phone's breaking up.
You know, she's got some secrets, for goodness sakes.
Interesting.
She has some deep-rooted secrets, my wife does.
And when she said these questions you wouldn't ask her, you know, between the two of you.
Well, she's gone. In a bad cell.
Bad. That was very, very bad.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I can only guess.
I guess you're going to take that quiz home, though.
No, not if she forbids me from telling you guys what the answers are.
Okay, you're not even going to ask if...
Yeah.
No point.
What's the point of knowing if I can't yap about it on the radio? We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. They are entertaining always. Don and Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Wayans brothers.
It's Sean and Marlon.
Yes, sir.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
How you doing? How's it going?
It's fine. Why is it so cold in here, man? It's a meat locker in here.
Look at us. We need it. We don't feel that.
It's cold, guys.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Hello, man. How's it going?
Sorry, we have it's a low-budget operation. We only have one microphone you guys have to share. That already you have displayed.
One microphone, no heat? What's up? I shared a bed with him for 16 years. I can do it sharing a mic.
Now, what is it with the Wayans brothers? What is it with the genes with you guys that you have... Damon, and you have Keenan Ivory Wayans.
You're talking about the jeans.
Yeah.
I'm talking about jeans. I'm not wearing Keenan jeans today.
What is it that makes you guys all so funny? Now, I've seen you guys. You were also on The Living Color, weren't you guys?
Yes, we were.
Right, I thought so.
You want to move that up to the upper level here? You see, Rob, I knew it would be better up there. I knew we have this weird little setup here.
Wow. All right. Well, it's the fact... Would you stop beating on me?
This is like the cheesiest studio. We can't do any interviews in this studio.
Right? They are jockeying for a position.
Now, wait. One of them's like sitting on the other one's lap now.
Now we're right here. Boom. Well,
gotcha.
Now I got two mics in my face. Thank you. Oh, speaking to the one that's... the biggest.
You guys are such brothers.
That one's working.
Hey, I loved you in that basketball movie. My kid loved that movie too. With the invisible. Yeah.
Thanks. If you kick me again, so
how did you kick you?
I have a bunch of pointed questions to ask the very famous Wayans brothers.
What's up?
Hey, come on. Before you do that, I wanted, how many Wayans brothers and sisters are there? Currently 52, 53 total?
No, there's I don't know. There's 10. Five boys, five girls. We're like the Black Brady Bunch.
I have a theory about a lot of shows that are on television. A lot of black shows that are on television.
Hey, he's taking
what
my darts.
That? I know. They all Wayans family?
What's that? Sure.
No.
You gotta really do it.
A lot of the shows seem to be written by white guys
who are trying to... all right, let's see where you go with... Oh!
Hey, wow.
I think you got that in Wisconsin.
Oh, right. Let me see.
All right, hold on. The Wayans brothers are going to throw darts at the map. Oh, in the ocean.
Ow! I put one there the other day. You're
my eye!
Off the coast of Bermuda there.
In the ocean.
Okay, finish what you were saying.
Okay, now, a lot of shows, and I'm not picking out your show, but a lot of shows that have black casts seem to be written by white guys who all sit around in a room and go, hey, homeboy, we'll have this guy come in the room and he'll say, hey, what's up? Crazy time!
You know what? You're right.
Crazy time! So, tell me on your show.
On our show?
What is the...
I've never heard us say crazy time.
What is the ethnic balance of the writing and producing staff
you
on your show?
You know, we got white guys who know they're white and they and they stay white and they don't try to be black.
And they allow us to bring the... And they flavor to it.
Right.
Cool.
It's not even black. I think it's contemporary.
Because there's nothing worse than a tragically white guy who's trying to be black. I mean, that's very sad. You know, we see that constantly, and you would agree that we are the two most tragically white guys you have ever seen in your life.
Which one of us do you think it has more soul, though?
Now, I want to tell you, I don't always dress like this. I had to go borrow money today. That's the only reason.
Which
I'm
one of us
like
at first
look more
place?
Like a lot. You are the
Mike's the whitest.
He's like a white guy that you step behind him at the ATM machine and he lets you go first. And you look like you own a trailer.
Oh, that is cold. I like that.
You look like the guy who took his wife and breakdown.
That is cold, man.
Oh, man.
I don't know which I'd rather look like, a redneck guy or a wasp guy.
I don't know. I think we've both been summarily insulted here.
All right, tell me.
You guys asked.
All right, we asked. Did I look at?
Here, go ahead. Go in front of me.
And also, you have black writers, and they bring flavor to you.
Yes.
Who is this guy?
He's a writer on our show.
All right.
Ah. Now, really, how come you guys travel with 1,000 guys?
Well, they're writing right now.
We're writing a movie right now.
Sean's writing a movie. So,
are you really writing a movie?
Yeah.
What kind of movie?
It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
So he's writing a movie with two friends, and I just.
So you had to bring them to our show today?
Well, bring them in. Come on in, everybody.
Hold on a second.
You don't want them in here?
Come on.
What's the working title of the film?
It's untitled. It's a romantic comedy.
It's
romantic comedy is the name of the film.
Romantic comedy.
It's untitled.
All right, here they come now.
Untitled.
All right, now who is who here?
This is Buddy Johnson right here.
Hey, Buddy.
Hi, Buddy.
Yeah,
what's
how
up?
You doing?
Hey.
Listen to that voice.
Hey, that's Michael Anthony Snowden.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Michael's a little shy.
Now, what is Michael's job?
Michael's a writer.
Are both these guys writers?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, they are.
Really?
Michael.
Okay. Write me a story right now. Someone get him a piece of paper. Write me a story.
Give me a rope.
Michael's the angry writer.
Are you angry? Are you angry, Michael? You look angry. Are you angry?
Rob, I was
kidding about that.
He was joking, Rob. What about this guy right here? That's our producer, Rob Spiewak. You analyzed us. Now please.
How white is he?
Who's he?
That's our producer. That's our producer, Rob. Come on in, Rob. Don't be afraid.
He has a black girlfriend. Yeah. He don't bring her around the guys. He has a little white girl. He bring around y'all. He goes home to a black woman and gives her a check.
Look at how uncomfortable he is right now.
You
standing
are uncomfortable.
In the room. Look at him standing in the room. Rob, is this the most black guys you've ever been around in your life?
Must be. I see him keep patting his back pocket.
Yeah.
I already gave him my wallet.
All right, get out, Rob. Get out of here.
He's a little nervous.
He is nervous. Look at the red cheeks.
And this guy got the Phil Collins cut.
Oh, this guy right here?
He got that dancing to the light cut.
That would be our studio technician, Charles Broyhill, being analyzed by the Wayans brothers
like
right now.
A gay activist.
You guys have aced everything today. Now, what are you here pushing? Your show on the WB?
Yeah, our show on the WB, and we have a book. I have a book coming out called 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto.
I only want some of y'all white women.
Michael?
That was his comment.
Michael
Snowden.
All right.
The man, it wasn't me. Anthony Michael Snowden. Right. That's who you want to set up.
He expressed an interest in white women, and now he is running out of the building.
Someone introduced him to Kate.
Yeah.
Kate's single.
Pretty fine.
You know, the one thing I read about you guys are both single.
Yes,
single in Los Angeles.
Yes, we are.
Having a good time.
Are you at all jealous of your other brothers?
We're making more money than
you. You're making more money than Damon?
No, not at all.
Now, Damon's like a big movie star, right? What did you think of that?
Oh, good.
What did you think of the movie with Adam Sandler that he did?
I thought it could have been better, but it wasn't their fault. I think the director messed it up.
How did the director mess it up?
I love to work with Ernie Johnson. You know how
Well, when you mess it up, it don't mean that he's not a good director. He just didn't capture that film right. Mm-hmm. I think the timing of the two guys are
don't try and kiss up
off.
Now. It's too late. You ruined your...
Hey, I write my own movies.
Ernest,
I don't have to kiss anybody's behind.
Ernest, I love your work.
Okay.
This isn't okay. Yeah, I'm getting the impression
think
this isn't
more,
fake. This is the real relationship.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, what about the director?
Like I said, I think it was a director.
It was
thing.
A director.
I think he
thing.
Didn't capture the best of the two guys that was in the movie. I think that could have been funnier.
And what happened with Keenan with in Living Color? Why did that show come to such an abrupt and nasty end on Fox?
Because Fox was putting the show on more than once a week. They were airing it on Thursdays.
You know, that's true. Whenever they would cancel a show,
they
would always fill the slot. They'd say, you know, now Thursday at 8:30, it's an extra edition of In Living Color.
Exactly. And what happened was that hurt the value in syndication, and then the show wouldn't be worth nothing.
Explain that.
The reason why you do TV is to get to syndication. You want to get a certain amount of shows, then you sell the show as a package in syndication, and you make a ton of money.
And by putting it on too often,
by putting it on
that
too
screws
much,
it up with the syndication.
It messes it up.
How much do you guys make now for your show on WB?
I can't disclose that.
Oh,
now.
Sure you can. You're among friends here.
Well, listen.
Put it this way. We make minimum wage.
All right, let me just tell you this. That the guys from Seinfeld have re-signed now for, what is it, $600,000
an episode.
And you guys, because it's the Wayans brothers, you're making just a little bit
and
more than that,
way,
right?
We don't make the tax on that money. The government would make more.
Yeah.
Their money, then we get an episode.
What kind of cars do you guys drive? These are our standard celebrity questions.
I just have a regular, you know,
that's
very,
a Porsche.
A very
regular
normal
old Porsche.
A very normal 4.6 Range Rover.
Range Rover, nice.
Very, you know,
yeah, we have Range Rovers. But
Said you had a Porsche. You have a Porsche
and
a Range Rover?
I'm joking, no. We lease them.
You lease what?
I'm leasing a Range Rover.
A Range Rover?
We don't have no money. What are you guys talking?
How much money do you have in your pockets right now, Wayans Brothers? How much cash in your pocket?
$1,000 on me.
You have $1,000 cash?
Yeah.
Count it out.
Can I see it?
Count it out.
All right. They're reaching into their pockets right now.
Yeah, I don't feel safe about these. Too many white guys.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. 100,
wow.
200,
wow.
300, 400, wow. 500, 600, 700,
a lot of
800,
50s. A lot of
50s. 900.
But you don't 900, have, he doesn't have it.
$1,000, yeah.
He's can you loan me some?
50,
look at this. Can you loan
right,
me
more
some?
More 20s coming out.
40, 60, 20, 80,
lots 40, of cash.
You guys don't need all that money.
80, 80. This right here is my life savings. This is my life savings in my pocket right now.
What major credit cards are you guys carrying?
I have no.
Macy's card and my Vegas.
Can I see your driver's license, please?
I don't have credit.
All right, let me. All
can
right.
we see your pictures on your driver's license?
He didn't let go of it.
No.
Can I see your picture?
Address.
All right. I'm not going to give your address out on the air. I wouldn't do
we
that.
We just want to see your goofy driver's license pictures.
Driver's license is cute.
You had a different hairstyle when you had this. How old were you? How long ago was this driver's license picture taken?
2 years ago.
2 years
Pass
ago.
Pass it over. Let there me see mine.
All right, he won't keep it.
Cancel, huh?
Wow, you live in a nice city.
Thank you.
I'm only kidding about your address.
You guys are just telling everything about us, huh?
Oh, I didn't even look at that. Now, are you at all, how do you feel about being on the Teeniest Network? You know, because that's even smaller
Actually,
than
we're
Fox.
Not. UPN is the Teeniest. We're the
second to Teeniest. You know what? I don't care.
Actually, we've seen the network grow a lot in the last couple of years. It started out, we get like 2 shares.
Yeah.
And now we're up to 5 shares in the national. So progressively... It's getting better.
But you know what? I don't mind being the on the tiny network because you get a chance to get good. You know, it's like on the big networks, you get on the air, and if your show's not great the first episode, which is really hard to do,
yes.
you're canceled. And we got a chance to grow on a small network, and now our show's getting better and better and better. You know, it's all good.
Do you like going on the road and promoting the show? I mean, a lot of people
Heck
do
no.
it because it's a contractual obligation.
Big pain in the ass to come talk to guys like us, isn't it?
It is not a contractual obligation.
See, in some shows it is. You have to go out and promote the show. You don't have to do that.
No, you don't. Actually, this is our choice. We choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not too many other shows on the network do it. Has any other... shows from the network been in here?
Well, we don't get
shows?
Any guests.
We don't
like,
get
we had, you remember the Riddler from the Batman TV show?
Wow.
That's like the biggest guest we've had recently.
Is he still alive, or did you have to go to him?
He might as well have been dead.
We had Red Buttons on the show.
Hey, guys, how many other white shows have you been on today?
This is the first white show.
Although we only identify it as a white show because we are white guys.
Exactly.
Actually, you know what?
You know,
this is a show, man. Comedy is something that's universal.
You know what? That's right.
Be it black, white, Chinese,
or, you know, whatever you might be, man. Comedy's universe.
That's exactly.
It's true.
Right. Okay, I have a book coming out.
All right, here's another plug.
How to Toss a Salad.
How to
Can
toss
I see
a salad.
Your book?
150 Ways to Toss a Salad.
All right.
it's called 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto. It was inspired by, you guys heard of Jeff Foxworthy. He has a book called...
Oh, brilliant comedian Jeff Foxworthy.
I think he's funny.
So you did this version of, you know, it's kind of, you
we
know...
We kind of did our point of view of, like, you know, we did the ghetto, 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto. He did Redneck.
Come on, I understand the tie-in, and I hope it works for you, but let's not fool each other about Jeff Foxworthy.
I thought he was funny. I think he's funny.
Oh, come on.
I think he's funny.
Oh, come on.
I stand by it. I think he's funny.
Oh, man.
I think he's funny. What's wrong with Jeff Foxworthy? Now, you're probably judging him by his show. You're not judging him by his stand-up.
Well, in general, we're kind of jealous of anyone that's on TV because we have tried TV and we have...
Yes, we are very angry.
We're very angry. We're bitter. We've been doing this.
That's what it is.
We've been in this studio for 12 years doing this, and we, you know, we've tried TV.
How'd you like to come here every day and have this be your goddamn life? Wouldn't you be upset?
Well, this is what you choose to do.
We're extraordinarily bitter. We want the three-picture deal.
You want to do TV?
Listen, Wayans Brothers, I have someone who wants to meet you. Did you see our receptionist out front?
Yes, we did.
Oh, my God, was she excited.
Terry?
I'm not done promoting my book. Hey, Terry.
Come back here, Terry. Come back here.
Terry, come on. You know you wanted to meet the Wayans Brothers.
Come on back. Come back here and meet them on our show, Terry.
Please.
Come on back.
Okay.
Love with you.
She was so excited. Now, what else did you want to plug before she comes in for her hug?
150 ways to tell if you're ghetto.
Okay.
And one of them would be, you might be ghetto if you take your batteries out of your smoke detector to put inside of your pager. Your baby, you might be ghetto if your baby daddy's name is tattooed on your,
yes.
Your
breast.
Oh, your breast.
Oh, we were thinking on your,
all right.
No,
you might be ghetto if you take... And what else?
If you think Kool-Aid has vitamin C in it.
Listen, I don't know how to tell you this. White or black, those jokes suck. Now, here is Terry.
Well, you guys will be on TV soon.
No, I'll take that. You're right.
I'm not on TV.
Let's not go there now, buddy.
We'll never, ever be on TV.
I've never written a book. I've never been on television.
Okay, we get paid the bucks for a reason now.
I thought you didn't make any money.
Well, you know, minimum wage.
Well, listen, guys, this is Terry. And
hi,
I mean,
Terry.
We have, as I said,
what is your sister's name, Terry? Niecy. Hi, Niecy. I'm sorry I couldn't
Niecy
talk to you earlier on
too?
The phone because I was dead tired. And
Terry, that's not too embarrassing. You made the Wayans Brothers get on the phone with your niece?
No, she didn't make us. She asked us, and we were sleepy, and we said, nah.
Oh, you wouldn't do
but
it.
I'm
you wouldn't
tired.
Do it.
I'm
going to say hi to you.
But I said hi over the radio. Hey,
sister. Terry, sister. Man.
What's up, Terry? All right, girl.
Well, good for you guys. I feel better then. I'm embarrassed that you asked them that, but I feel
she
good that you
really
let her
ask.
Down.
You know what? We walked by the phone, and I grabbed it. And then she said, hey, someone's on there that wants to say something to you. I said, hold on.
So you don't think that we'd have a future?
Is that a good lie?
You don't think we'd have a future in TV?
Terry, what is it that you love about the Wayans Brothers?
Oh, my gosh.
No chance.
Not even on the WB?
You're talking about that, Terry, about that.
You
I'm still
what?
On
Every
the TV
since
thing.
You shot my book down, you get no love from me.
What is it that you love about the Wayans Brothers so much?
Everything.
Did they kiss you? If you could kiss one of them, which one would you kiss? Terry? I know you're married.
A married woman.
I know. Listen.
But see, we have celebrities in here all the time.
Don't let that stop you. I bet you want to kiss Marlon. Am I wrong?
Which one is Marlon?
Which one is Marlon? That's cold.
Sean's the cute one, man.
That is cold.
I'm the lanky, funny one.
You don't think you're cute?
Of course I'm cute.
Are we boring you?
Are we boring you? Did he help you write the book?
You know, 150 ways to get on the lot.
Well, if they don't think Jeff Foxworthy's funny, of course they don't think we're funny.
All right, Wayans Brothers, I've had enough of
We've
you.
We've been defeated.
And there's no chance that we can get an idea of what maybe that
Not
romantic comedy will
hell.
Be titled? No?
What movie
no.
I'm doing.
What
movie
are, you
are
you doing?
I'm going to start production on a movie called Senseless. It's about a guy who does this experiment, and it gives him super senses. He can see better, taste better, and all this. And then what happens is he gets greedy. He likes it so much, he gives himself a double dosage, overloads his system. Now the whole thing backfires, and he can only have 4 out of 5 senses at a time. And he'll lose the sense that he needs most.
I think the book's a better idea than that.
No, but listen. Like he'll go blind while
you guys are going straight to the top here at the radio station.
Yeah, it's a very funny movie.
Bang, zoom.
Bang, zoom.
There might be a cameo in it for you.
Hold on, no prompting from your
friend
there.
No, for real. Listen.
Cameo.
There might be a cameo in it for you.
Don't talk to me like
for
that.
For real, man.
You know me.
For real.
Oh, for real.
We'll get
get you in there.
It's called Senseless.
Yeah.
Come on. I'd love to cut your stuff right out the damn movie.
You know, my child has my damn feet.
You know who he looks like? The guy from Mel Carter, Give Me a Break? The
Flaw. Oh, no,
oh, all right, get out
now. that's the last insult. Goodbye, Wayans Brothers.
Oh, all right, it's on.
We got Rush Limbaugh over here.
All right.
Rush Limbaugh and Dolph Sweet.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, man.
The Wayans Brothers.
All right.
Hey, thank you, guys. Wayans Brothers.
Good luck with the show. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
WB.
All right.
9:30.
Hey. 9:30. Thanks a lot.
Guys.
They're okay. I enjoyed that.
How about that?
That was a lot of fun.
How about that?
And that was great. There they go. Sean and Marlon Wayans.
The Wayans Brothers.
They look, these guys, seriously, they might be tired, but they look like they seriously enjoy what they're doing, and I think they really get along with each other.
I'm glad they came in to be on the whitest show in America, the Wayans Brothers.
So we could hurl insults around the room. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.